Pardon. This is it. The form.
The United Nations is welcoming the
blood type,
5 billionth person sex, alive in the
home,
world.
Date of birth, and then the visit, who you see, what the comments are, how much medication they did, the name and the quantity, and additional comments, and then the time.
What am I supposed to do?
They can't.
Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who are supposed to be free are now warring on my TV. Let's go!
No, but I told the woman to do just come in full shot and be there out front.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Hi there.
What?
Hi, this is Hotel
no.
Kenyatta.
Computer.
Hello?
That's my fault. You know, usually when I go to the engineer and say, hey, something's wrong, you know what they tell me? It's operator error, and I tell them, no, it's not, and they come in here and push a button and say, operator error. So, hey, welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And Six and I are here in the studio, and we want you to be with us, so we want you to give us a call. And that number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Six, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I wanted to play my song, you know.
You got to play your song. I heard I must stole your song.
Everyone's stealing my song. It's mine. I don't understand.
So we sending checks yet?
Who?
Boss says we're going to have to be sending checks soon.
I'm not listening to him. He don't know.
You don't listen to the boss?
No.
Oh, okay. You can get away with that.
No. Someone said to me, they said, Tracy, you walk to your own beat, don't you? And I'm like, yeah.
Well, it's always easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. But also, if you work for somebody, one oh crap right out, wipes out a million attaboys.
It shouldn't.
Depends how big the oh crap was.
It still shouldn't. I mean, even if it's a big oh crap, you know, not unless it was intentional or it was because of negligence. But you know, I have a problem when people take your, you know, do that. That's just bad. Hey, listen, I got my first bad editorial yesterday.
Ooh. From who?
Some guy. I guess he's kicking me out of the Republican Club or something. I'm on the dark side.
Now you lost your black card and you've been kicked out of the Republican Club.
No. I've gone to the dark side of the Republican Party. I thought it was a little racist, but...
Why? What? Is that the libertarian part or the other part?
No, it was because I was in support of giving county employees a raise. And
well, what's wrong with that?
Well, you're not supposed to pay people if they work for a municipality. You should just kick them in the teeth. You ought to just let them do what they do. I'm not there.
Unless they work for a union, then it's okay to give them a raise.
Well, that's right.
Oh, so if you're a non-union public employee, you don't deserve a raise.
No.
But if you're
a
union employee, you do.
Well, right, because the non-union, they negotiate theirs collectively,
okay.
And no one knows when they're through, right.
Oh, okay.
That's how
okay, so if I'm just a clerk somewhere working for you and I come and say, hey, I need a dime, you're not supposed to give it to me because
no.
I'm not paying union dues to anybody.
Pretty much.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as we understand how the
system
how
it
works.
That's how it works. But if you do it openly, because, see, this is what happens. This is why you have collective bargaining agreements. This is what's wrong. It's because people who have the ability to do the right thing don't. Hey, good morning, 347. How are you?
Hey, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good.
How's Six?
I'm doing well.
Is this Stan?
How you doing, Stan?
This is Jeff Kenyatta. People confuse our voice. To me, he sounds so much different, but I guess to some people, we sound the same. But no, I'm different.
Hey,
he's the smart one, and he's the one.
Are you from New York?
Yeah, I live in New York City.
Well, maybe you have that New York slang, and that's
maybe,
why.
Maybe. Yeah, and I haven't noticed. It's possible.
By the way,
some sister told me that Caribbean men have feminine energy yesterday. I don't know if you heard. Oh, you were off air. And it went
I was off air by
so
then.
I came to represent for the Caribbean.
Caribbean men
have
feminine energy.
Yeah,
how does that work?
A sister said that she could sense the aura because she's into metaphysics, and that she can sense that, and that they like they're into cooked food instead of burgers. That was one of the defenses, and their walk is feminine, and a few other things that I found kind of unbelievable. But it's interesting to hear people's perspectives because it helps you to understand, you know, what's going on in their, you know, lives and brains. So it was
wow. That sounds.
I had never heard
yeah.
that one. That was pretty good.
I hadn't either. Yeah.
Caribbean men. Caribbean men. I mean, everybody has their own swag.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit more. They're a little bit more secure in themselves. They're like European men. Than American men. I'll say that.
Yeah,
so,
there's some differences.
You know, what'd you say?
Yeah, I was saying there are some differences in each cultural group based on our historic experiences, you know, the diets we have, the influence of the music, reggae versus maybe hip-hop, jazz, blues. But at the core, we have all of us, all humans, any color, any religious group, we have very core similarities that shouldn't be things that divide us. And that's a big thing to get over.
I don't think they divide us. I think Americans are just proprietary.
Okay. Well, after 40 years of existence.
I mean, they are Americans today. They're very proprietary. This is mine. This is my sandbox. And I don't want anybody else in it. If you don't look like me, or if you're not like me, we like things that have continuity. That's what I think. I don't know much.
A part of it also, Tracy and Sticks, is that because certain groups, African Americans, maybe Native Americans, and females of any color have suffered so much, when other groups come who are also ostracized groups, it's almost a thing of you're moving in on our pain and experience and benefiting from ours. And I kind of understand it because many of those groups still haven't found justice.
Well, now, you know, most it comes from lack of education, too, because, you know, you realize that we don't teach people that other groups have been under oppression.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we really understand that. I mean, when you go to school, you don't hear about the oppression of Europeans, of Caribbeans, and things. You don't hear that kind of stuff.
I mean, now don't get me wrong. The way that blacks were brought here and enslaved, it was absolutely abhorrent. But every new group to come to this country has been trod upon day one.
I'm talking about just regular good old-fashioned, you know, knowledge, like what happened to the Irish over in Ireland.
Oh, they came here because as bad as they were treated here, it was better than they were being treated there.
Were you taught that in school?
The potato famine was the only thing we were really taught about.
But were you really?
We didn't understand what the cause of the potato famine was.
But we really didn't understand. We've not heard about Italians and the oppression of them. We haven't heard about that.
Well, we don't even teach that the common people owning real estate is a truly American only concept, United States only concept.
The what?
Common people owning real estate.
Oh yeah.
That's not a European concept. That's a United States concept.
No, and owning the minerals.
And owning your minerals,
owning your minerals
is the only nation on the planet where the landowner owns the minerals.
And don't forget, the Irish were the first actual slaves that were here. And when that didn't work out, then the Africans were used. And, of course, some other groups were tried out in certain jobs, like Chinese people, et cetera. So the history, for instance, America is not as old as Haiti, not as old a region as Dominican Republic in terms of the original people. So we have to start to, I think, be more educated and understand each other so that we can then, you know, work together and say, okay, now what's the solution to our united problems?
Well, we also have to understand that there was a very different, the Europeans acted very differently in South America than they did in North America towards the indigenous peoples.
But we, I mean, well,
and
I,
we don't understand that.
No, we've never been taught. I mean, you go to school and what do they tell you?
I mean, in North America, they treated the indigenous peoples poorly, but they didn't really start basically enslaving them and putting them on reservations till the 1800s,
but you
where the Spaniards from day one were enslaving the indigenous peoples of South America.
But you've never been taught that. You go to school and they teach you American history, they teach you a form of government, but as far as teaching about the Caribbean, teaching about how Puerto Rico became Puerto Ricans,
right,
and what happened with them. As far as I'm teaching you that, they really don't teach you all that. They really don't even teach you how what we really did to.
Right. It's my understanding the first African slaves were actually brought to the sugar plantations in the Caribbean and South America before they ever hit North America.
They don't teach you anything.
And the fact that many families were split up from the Caribbean and some were shipped to America and vice versa.
Yes.
Sometimes slave masters did deals with the slaves from their plantation in America, ended up in Caribbean. And then, of course, there's the Central and South American connection because the original people in the Caribbean are basically, in most tribes, the same as the people in Central America and the northern part of South America. And 2014, the textbooks tend not to include the full picture. So, of course, many of us come away with one-sided views.
Right. Well, and it's also my understanding that actually once the importation of slaves was no longer legal, the breaking up of families actually increased because you could no longer import an entire family, so you bought and sold what you had, which was actually worse.
By the way, when it was abolished, it still continued for a long time. It was done kind of under the radar,
right,
but not as many were brought, but it was still occurring. I had a statistic I found this week. The big challenge we're going, well, one of the big challenges is how does humanity move forward without coming to the table understanding all the sides, you know? And it's, we have that's a major challenge that seems not to be addressed by major, you know, networks and most politicians.
But as a matter of fact, if you want to know the truth of it, they really don't address much of anything anywhere, because as long as they keep you ignorant, they can control you.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how it goes.
All of the word Israelites, though, right?
Pardon
me? How many folks know that? How many folks?
Go ahead. What'd you say?
I was just going to say, how many folks know that Lexington Concord, the militia, was formed by a biracial church, and there were black men and white men standing next to each other in that battle.
How many people know what went on the congressional floor when African Americans, when you had like three or four of them elected at one time back in the early, was it the late 1800s?
There were tons of black congressmen and senators.
Yeah.
After the Civil War.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there was a senator was caned on the floor.
On the floor. Yeah.
Almost died. He was caned.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They don't teach that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And,
why haven't we, an anti-slavery
senator was caned almost to death on the floor, on the way in the well of the Senate.
Why don't they teach that? Because that's not black history, that's American history.
Right. I mean, I know
February is over, but that's history.
Well, we need to tell the good side and the bad side, because for every bad thing the country's done, we've done a good thing.
We've done some good, but we've done some bad.
Yeah.
But right now we're doing some really crazy.
Oh,
stuff.
We're doing.
Hold
some
on, just a second.
Now.
312, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy, but would you agree that those were the Israelites?
No, we ain't even got back that far, dude. We just talking about just common everyday. things that go on that you should learn in your history while you're sitting in a classroom and wonder why our children are crazy. The reason why they're crazy is because we don't tell the truth about where they are, who they are, where they're coming from, and where they're going. This ain't about Israel, the Israelites.
So you're not saying that they are Israelites?
No.
Oh.
I think, hey, Tracy.
So you agree that they...
Yeah.
I think what he is suggesting is that the original people in America were Israelites, not the Israel that we know of, but black Israelites. I think that's his point. And
so,
it's
yeah,
a similar
lost
argument
tribe. I've heard
made,
that theory.
Yeah, there's also
yeah,
a similar argument made by some people that say the original people were called Moors. So one group
correct.
Has a Israelite Christian connection and research, and the other group has an Islamic connection and research, and I've heard both arguments, and some of the arguments have some very valid points, but then as I dig deeper, there are some questions that may remain unanswered, but it's great to hear the brother bring that point up.
But this is my issue. Sometimes when we have a conversation, because we have a very, very diverse conversation, we have a very, very diverse audience that listens in, and we go so far deep, because it takes you so far up. If you go back into the Israelites, that's a show all in itself, the Lost Tribe, all that kind of stuff, all that is a designated show with people who have really dug deep, studied hard, and have their facts. So people can go on Google and on the Internet and research that stuff. That's where that belongs. What happens here is we do just conversation, like you do in the normal beauty barber and you know coffee place in the morning. And when you go that crazy off the deep end, you just go... People sitting up there going, huh? Because we fail to realize what I'm saying is we've never taught anybody the superficial stuff, the light stuff in America, let alone going that deep.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, think about it. When has your child come home, your niece, your nephew, your godchild, some child come home and said, this is what I learned in school, and it was something that was really had meat to it?
Yeah. By the way, that's why I homeschool. I pulled all my children out of traditional school settings. I used to be a vice principal, et cetera. But I figured, why send my school to prison to learn mainly lies? And so, you know, a few of my colleagues have done the same thing.
But just think, they don't want you to homeschool. Society at large wants you to send your children into a public system so they can indoctrinate them with what they want them to know.
Let's talk about it. That homeschool, because there was that German family that was here under asylum.
Yes.
The Supreme Court refused to hear their case, so legally they could have sent them back, and then now all of a sudden they changed their mind. Now, why did they spend all that time and money to try to send these folks back to Germany, and then when they got down to the last minute, say, oh, just kidding. What's the ramifications of that?
I don't know. All I know is I get tired of people playing games. And we have more people that play games for sport,
mm-hmm.
and try to manipulate the system for sport, than try to do the right thing. If people try to do the right thing, spend as much energy as the people that try to manipulate the system for sport, we would be better off.
Mm-hmm.
If we would just revert back to your right to swing stops at the end of my nose. And live and let live, we'd have a whole lot better society.
No, just do the right thing.
In most cases, that is doing the right thing.
No, just do. I mean, the energy that I watch people do. Look, I was telling you.
Well,
that,
you're involved. You're deep in politics, so you see some bad stuff.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm watching people really manipulate the system. And they lie about it. Seriously, what's wrong with parents having the responsibility of the children that they birth?
I think you should have the
New
responsibility.
York, you know, Chicago, and this don't go deep.
Mm-hmm.
I got a guy in the chat room said he learned how to twerk today.
See, you know what's challenging about that, though? If we agree and it's logical that parents should have the responsibility, then we have to look at, well, some parents are irresponsible. How do they become irresponsible? These are kids having kids, And the kids who have the kids aren't even aware of who they are. Listen to this. Y'all won't believe this. I won't say which school. I visited a school, and in the grades, 10% of the children can read at grade level. I mean, 10%. 90% can't read at grade level. How do you do math if you can't read? How do you do science? So these are kids having children. If we ask them to be responsible, what happens is we end up with a more inferior central nervous system in their children. But then again, regular parents like me, I don't want the government in my business, but I can also understand why a child that's five, whose dad is never around and whose mom is all blinged out, not focused on academics, but focused on superficial stuff. You know, we're caught in a catch-22. We want the freedom, but most of the slaves
listen to this. Remember, at one time, young girls had babies but knew how to take care of them.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, government came in and helped them out.
That's just where
and
I was headed.
Threw them up.
I was going to just bring the chicken or the egg dichotomy. Do social programs cause the instability in the family that we have, or does the instability that we have in the family cause the social programs?
Well, very often it's along political lines. A Republican angle would be that the social programs destroyed the black family and other families, and the Democratic line would no, it's supportive and needed. And I think if we look at it in terms of consistency, well, okay, if there's a hurricane, do people get help? Yes. Okay, so if there's a hurricane in the black community for 400 years, do they deserve help? And my position is any group, family, person that is ostracized and vilified and can't find a job and continually put down, the government's responsibility is to build them up, just like they would do with hurricanes, et cetera. But when it comes to certain groups, we tend not to see that, and I think it should be consistent across the board.
But following Reconstruction up until the early 20th century, weren't there some very wealthy and very well-to-do black communities in the United States?
Yes, but let me say this. You have to realize, and I have a guest coming on, so New York, you're going to have to – they'll be calling in about 5 minutes or 3 or 4 minutes, and I'm going to go to break, and then hopefully you'll sit through our conversation and join in. But listen to this, and I'm really serious about this. Look at what happened. You had a good group of people who were raised to take care of all of the labor jobs and organizational jobs of home.
Mm-hmm.
But you did not teach them the administrative part of it. And you did not give them the opportunity for success to learn. And then you freed them.
Right.
Those that knew how, they made sure that they got rid of them. And they kept them separate from those that did not know. So then you have a whole bunch of people who did not have the skill or innovation, who were of another color, who did not have the skill that this other group had. And so when you freed a whole group of people and you did not give them everything that they needed, and then every time they tried to become something, you sprayed water on them and you hosed them, you oiled them, you beat them, you ostracized them, you emasculated them. And then as they continued on, then you began to, and you look at the Great Society. The Great Society was a plan. If you look at drugs in the black community was a plan. Now, no one's put their name on the plan who made it happen, instituted, and who thought it up. But it was absolutely a plan because when they would cry for help, gangs came around. Gangs came into being because police would not come. That's how we got gangs in the black community.
But what period of time did for example, Harlem, go from being a very affluent community to falling apart?
Drugs.
What time? What years? What years?
I don't know.
What period of time is what I'm curious about.
Do you know?
Yeah, well, when we say affluent community, let's remember that prior to darker people being the majority in Harlem was a minority Italian and Jewish community. We came in approximately in the 1910s, 20s, and by the 40s, 50s, we were the majority group. We were never really affluent, but we dressed well and we had the nice suits. We had more unity, and we owned more of the businesses. In fact, I've had that discussion before,
yeah,
how today we hardly own, we own nothing basically in Harlem. But in the 60s, we owned a lot. So then the question becomes, well, Martin Luther King's integration and sitting at the stores to ask to spend money at the other people's store, did it really help? I think we should have just wanted bathroom access, water, and taken our money to empower the poorer communities that we lived in.
And I say the same thing. I said, you know, you got three white men sitting at your soda fountain. You got 700 standing outside. I'll invite the three to my house and take the 700 outside. And that's what we did. Hey, listen,
yeah,
I got to take a break. I've got Eli coming on with me from Americans for Prosperity. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers...
Tracy?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
This
is Eli Miller. How are you?
Hey, I'm Eli. This is Hotep. I think what happens is during these episodes, during commercials, I think they go to their live stream from their radio station, and we are in a green room, sort of. And then when she comes back, we're put back on it.
Okay, so you want me to just stand by?
Yeah, are you one of the guests?
Yes. I'm
okay,
with
Americans,
yeah,
she mentioned that you would be coming on, and I have a feeling you should just hold, and then when she comes back in, she'll bring you from the green room.
Okay, great. I'll just stand on hold then.
Okay, what is your topic, by the way?
We're talking about coal, Obamacare, small businesses, some events we have coming up in the area, Americans for Prosperity,
okay.
Ohio.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in New York City, and Obamacare hasn't been too beneficial to the people that anticipated it would help them.
Yep. Yep.
So... always a catch.
How's the weather in New York today?
Oh, I haven't gone out yet, but I can tell you over the past few days, deadly cold.
Yep. Same in Ohio.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you all would be worse, right? Because you all are kind of known for having chilly weather.
Exactly. It's been
yeah,
brutal. It's been zeros and negative fives and eights and wind chills, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. And I hate cold weather, so. But I have to go out today shortly to do a few meetings, and I'll be bundled up like a baby. All I need is the stroller and somebody to push me down the street, let my legs stick out the side. You know, it's bad, it's bad. I see kids sometimes not bundled properly out there, and I'm just so annoyed because this is not the weather for, you know, 1 year old to be dressed like they go into a basketball game.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You got to have your hat and your gloves. You got to keep the heat inside.
Yeah, yeah. During this type of weather, it's actually deadly weather. This is when I think police cars should be at certain junctures, keeping their eyes out for anyone that isn't dressed well, especially parents with children, and saying, hey, come over here. You know it's 10 degrees below zero, right? What's
mm-hmm.
little Johnny doing with, you know, no scarf and no socks? Is it that you don't have one? Because we have a box here. I could give you one. See, I think that's a role that law enforcement should play, and too often, you know, not done. It's just, handcuffs and jail as opposed to community relations, which would really deal
mm-hmm.
with lots of the problems, I think, at least in my community. I see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But,
absolutely.
Yeah, much to repair, and I find that the people that, you know, a big problem we have, not everyone can be a leader in a culture. So we have out of 1,000 people, one is born a leader or develops leadership skills. Well, in our societies, most of the leaders end up
945-5229. And I am back. Eric, let me see who's out there. Eli, are you there?
I am.
Hey, welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Tracy, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed listening to your prior conversations, and I'm often on in Ohio, WSOM 600, listening to you.
Well, it's good to have you with us.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome. Tell us a little bit about you, and then tell us a little bit about the organization that you are a part of and what you guys do. What are you about?
Sure. As you know, and I want to let your listeners know, I'm the state director in Ohio for Americans for Prosperity. And Americans for Prosperity is a grassroots organization. We have over 2.5 million activists coast to coast who promote limited government, lower taxes, and more economic freedom. And in Ohio alone, we have close to 95,000 activists who believe in the same thing, Tracy. They want lower taxes, less regulation, smaller government.
They do?
They do.
Do you know I live in, we broadcast out of Youngstown, Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
Mahoning County?
Yes.
Is that what they want here, too?
Yes, that is what they want as well. From Youngstown to Dayton to Cleveland to Columbus, Cincinnati, and all other 88 counties, they want lower taxes, free market economy.
So
what about
me.
Those people that want to shut down all the pipe mills with the fracking?
Yeah. I mean, they don't, what is, I mean, I'm confused. You know, we got another, we got another ballot issue coming in Youngstown for clean water. That says that if you use deodorant, you're going to die from the water.
I have not seen that bill yet. I will certainly look into
it. Same one that was on the last 3 or 4 elections. Same one.
And we will certainly look into it. I mean, as you know, we've been doing a lot of, you know, how important coal is in Ohio.
Oh, no, coal's bad. I heard that the other
coal
day.
Coal is not bad.
It's going to kill us all. I'm being facetious.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got it.
We don't know how to, you know, be serious here.
Yeah.
It's bad. You hear my song is happy. You can't. I'm sorry. I mean, but I believe people want it. But it seems as though people don't know that they want it or they don't know how to make it happen. They say they want to have smaller government. They say they want to have lower taxes. They say they want to have less regulation. They say they want all that. But when you put it in front of them, they don't know it. Or they don't know how to make it happen.
And, I mean, let me give you an example. We can look no further than Obamacare. And Obamacare was sold to Ohioans as a means to make health care more affordable and more accessible. And Tracy, and I'm sure your listeners understand that, unfortunately, this has turned out to be not true, and Obamacare has turned out to be a real job killer in Ohio and across the country.
But,
and
you know, there were some people that were saying that up front, and they looked at people like you had horns.
Well, I think those horns have descended back into the heads and no longer are around because I don't want to see any more Ohioans lose their jobs because of Obamacare, and unfortunately it continues to happen every day.
That's what I mean. I mean, things like this happen to Americans every day, and here in Ohio every day. I mean, the affordable health care, it's bad legislation. Not saying that people should not have access to affordable health care, but what we have in front of it, the legislation is just bad.
Completely.
And it's going to hurt us.
Exactly, and as we saw the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO report, it showed, as you know, Tracy, 2 million full-time jobs will be lost because of Obamacare. 2 million.
But those people will have health care somewhere, and it won't be the quality of health care that they deserve.
Exactly. And Obamacare alone, you talk about we want to lower taxes. Obamacare alone is going to carry 21 new tax increases, amounting to $1 trillion in new taxes, while leaving, you know, another 31 million Americans still uninsured.
See, that's just crazy.
I
mean, that, I mean, that's just, I mean, look at school choice. I'm looking at your website, and if you go to AmericansForProsperity.org, you will find AFP Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And so for my listening audience that's out there, it's a wonderful. Look at what we're doing. Look at how, look at education. And we don't want to do what's necessary to make sure that all of our children have the skills and the tools legislatively to be able to be productive adults.
Right. And Tracy, like you've said, and I think some listeners before you were chatting with, listen, we want to put America, you know, back to work, you know, and really get people working again. And Obamacare is the legislation, like we talk about. That's all we care about is the legislation is not good. It's not good for anybody.
How do we put America back to work? How do we put Ohio back to work? Because, I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but how do we do that?
Yeah, how do we make people in Ohio understand the miracle of North Dakota?
Yeah, I mean, the Dakotas are doing, the states are doing well. I think Ohio can get there. I think we have excellent leadership here in the state that continues to work hard to put Ohioans back to work. And as I mentioned before, Obamacare has been a hindrance. You look at two big job organizations in Ohio, the Cleveland Clinic, Kroger's. They've had to lay people off. They've had to cut internships. In fact, we're getting ready to launch a website in Ohio called ObamacareCampusCrisis.com. And we've gone all over the state interviewing college students, and they told us, listen, I had an internship. I was graduating and had a job. Those jobs aren't there anymore. That internship isn't there anymore. We are trying to educate Ohioans about Obamacare. And if you want to shift to the small businesses, especially, and we, all three of us know how important small businesses, you know, since President Obama took office, the percentage of business owners that rate their taxes or regulations as the number one concern has risen to 42%. And this was a poll that was published by the National Federation of Independent Businesses. And it's outpacing more traditional business worries such as poor sales or cost of labor. I mean, they can't even have poor sales or cost of labor because their taxes are so high.
See, that's what you know, and you know, people don't realize how small business works. I mean, we have this conversation on here a lot, and every time you say business, everybody thinks about corporations, so they go to Wall Street. But
mm-hmm.
small business drives America.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people have no idea how cumbersome it is for small business to deal with all of the burdens of the regulatory system so that they can actually become profitable to even pay their employees and to make a good product.
And I also don't think a lot of people realize how big a small business can be.
So what do you think? Eli?
Yes, I mean, I agree. Listen, the backbone of America is small business. That is what gets America going again. It's investing in these small businesses. And it's, Tracy, it's not putting regulations and taxes, you know, on them so they can't grow. Those small businesses are ones that are going to hire our kids, our grandkids, our friends, our neighbors, and they're going to give them an opportunity to work and work hard and rise. Big businesses, they didn't start off that way. They were small businesses at one point. And
I'm saying the regulations aren't allowing small businesses to become big businesses anymore. You can't compete. I mean, the regulatory system, the small business taxes. Even if you look at the overwhelming burden of workman's comp here in the state of Ohio, is very burdensome for small businesses, especially if they're in manufacturing.
Yes, exactly. And another statistic is that one in four small businesses saw cost increase exceeding 20% on their recent renewal. And this is
that's what I mean.
Attributed, Yep, and this is attributed to the Affordable Care Act. And small businesses are reporting that they spend an average of 13 hours and a monthly cost of about $1,300 to understand this law a weekly.
I sit on several boards, and I know that the Affordable Health Care Act has really been a burden on just dealing with health care for employees that already had health care. And if you have
yes.
a collective bargaining agreement, you're really in trouble.
You are absolutely correct. And you asked me earlier, how do you spur business? Well, let me what I think is, you know, we talked about coal. I mean, in Ohio alone, just Ohio, coal provides power for about 4.5 million homes and 200,000 businesses. And based on the cost of electricity, Ohio ranks 27th in the nation in energy affordability, and that's according to the Energy Information Administration. And here's the best part. Ohio ranks number 10 in the nation in coal production and number 4 in the nation in, you know, coal use. We want coal to succeed. I mean, the coal mining business in Ohio, about 30,000 people they provide jobs for, a combined payroll of $1.5 billion.
And that makes a difference. But look at the regulatory system and what has happened to the coal industry, even here in Ohio, and look at what President Obama said about coal. We had three power plants go off grid.
Oh, more than that.
Yep.
I don't know how many total.
We had quite a few.
Yeah.
And he said that he was going to make sure that coal was no longer a product in America.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, you took the words out of my mouth. As you know, President Obama is put coal out of business through this new CCS regulation, and as you know, CCS stands for carbon capture and storage. And listen, that does sound pleasant sounding, but that's not going to only hurt Ohioans once. It's going to hurt them twice. First on their tax bill, and then again on their utility bill. And CCS will mean Ohioans will pay more for every time they turn on their light, every single time.
Why would they do that?
If you're done breaking your back all day, working tirelessly, you and me and all our friends and neighbors, once we get home and we leave that business and want to turn on the light and have that meal Friday night for dinner, we're going to have to pay for it, not once but twice. And the administration thinks this is a great idea.
I it's just amazing. Your organization, tell us what you do and tell us why you guys exist, and if people want to be a part of it, or if people want to know more. I believe you're an educational site also. So talk a little bit about that.
Yes. As I mentioned, we have a robust group of activists, and we engage in educating citizens on policies. We educate them on policies and how it's going to affect you, how it's going to affect your friends, your neighbors. And you see that at AmericansForProsperity.org/Ohio and also our homepage. We put on town halls, telephone town halls, rallies, roundtables. We are out in the communities. And listen, all we are lower taxes, free market economy. We don't endorse candidates. We just educate citizens on bad policies, and we hold people accountable for those.
Well, that's good. Again, your website is AmericansForProsperity.org/Ohio.
Yes.
And it's my understanding that you guys, when you say you have town halls, what do you mean?
So, for example, we have a spending spotlight town hall with Ohio Auditor Dave Yost next Wednesday the 12th. It's the North Canton Civic Center. And what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about what's going on in Ohio, what policies are happening, how the auditor sees things going, and we're going to let people who come ask questions. And that's all it is. We just want to educate the citizens of Ohio on what's going on.
Well, listen, I appreciate that. I'll actually start making sure that I can start announcing those so people know to call in, because a lot of times you have to search it out, and people don't even know that that's there.
Right.
What's the website again?
The website for the town hall is essentially you can access it through our Facebook, which is just facebook.com/AFPOhio.
What about for the whole organization?
Hold on, say that again real slowly, because you know I'm a little slow. I don't think they told you that.
Tracy, you are quicker than I am, I have a feeling, and your listeners, I'm sure, appreciate it. But the website is facebook.com/AFPOhio. Or you can check out AmericansForProsperity.org/Ohio.
Okay.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this 10 months. It's my 10-month anniversary today.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how long has AFP been an organization?
We've been an organization for about 10 years, and we have about 39 chapters coast to coast. You know, our headquarters is located in Virginia.
And so you guys just got some people that just came together and said, this is what people need to know, and we need to find a way to educate them.
Americans are paying too much in taxes, are getting too much regulation pushed on them, and no one's there to hold legislators at any level, Tracy, local, state, and federal, accountable. We don't just engage in big picture. We help small counties, cities as well. For example, there's a city outside Columbus called Gahanna. And the city of Gahanna thought it would be a good idea to raise the income tax 66%. That's a lot.
Huh?
And we fought
that.
And we were able to knock doors. We knocked over 5,000 doors. We placed over 12,000 phone calls. We went to every city council meeting. And Tracy, I'm happy to report that we defeated that bill.
Good
going. And if you're gonna raise taxes in Ohio, you're going to hear from us.
Good going.
Thank
taxes?
You.
Taxes? We don't need no stinking taxes.
You know, I want one day someone to do a seminar or a webinar or something on how taxes drive business out of business. Because you know we always hear lower taxes. We always hear smaller government. We always hear this, and people who receive the majority of their taxes, their money back, you know, when they file their taxes, don't understand what people are talking about when they say lower taxes. They really know, and they don't understand how it actually affects them, because they get their money back and they don't realize that the raise that they're looking for is, you know, they can't pay it because they got to pay taxes, and how much it costs to employ someone.
Tracy, I would be happy to do that, to partner up with you, to put that on in Ohio, a webinar so your listeners can get in and educate the citizens about that, because that is an excellent point, and, you know, people need to know that. They need to know when they, you know, after they're done working, how hard they work, you know, seeing where those taxes go, and how to keep them lower so they can keep more of their hard-earned money in their pocket.
Eli, you need to give those addresses and that information out again. You know that emergency response that's mandatory by the FCC? Well, while you were giving it out and the information that we were just talking about, they were listening to the beeps. Can you give that information or those addresses out for those that were listening on terrestrial radio? Because those that were listening on iHeart didn't have the opportunity, but those listening on terrestrial radio, they missed it all.
Absolutely. Our website is AmericansForProsperity.org/Ohio. That's AmericansForProsperity.org/Ohio. And for those of you in Ohio, if you'd like to come to our spending spotlight town hall with Ohio Auditor Dave Yost, You can register at facebook.com/AFPOhio. That's facebook.com/AFPOhio.
And we are talking to Eli Miller.
And it's a free event. And it's a free event. So come on.
What day is it?
It's Wednesday, March 12th, and doors open at 5:30.
Do they need to register to come? RSVP?
Yeah.
They just can't.
Yeah,
okay.
At facebook.com/AFPOhio, but it's free and more the merrier.
The phone number here is 347-945-5229, and I'm talking with Eli Miller, and he is from Americans for Prosperity Ohio. And if you go to their website, it is very, very informational. Got a lot of stuff going on. Talks about Obamacare. Talks about how to keep Ohio electricity affordable. Talks about some of the Ohio legislative alerts that you need to know about. Talks about what's killing jobs in Ohio and causing us to have a slow, sluggish recovery. Because a lot of times you hear, we're doing good, but we could do better. But we're not doing better because we take two steps forward and one step back because legislation comes down and it really hurts us. On your website, it asked me, do I want to join? What am I joining?
You are just joining to get our emails that we send out. And those emails are a plethora of things. Sometimes we're holding legislators accountable for raising taxes. Sometimes we're inviting you to attend a telephone town hall or a business roundtable or a minority outreach group or anything else we have going on. We want you engaged. We want you in the know.
Well, guess what? I'm a join.
Thank you.
And so I'm doing it as we speak. It seems pretty simple. You're not asking me for anything overwhelming.
Right.
And we're in business. Eli, I want to thank you for coming on with me. It's a great, great opportunity to have you here. We're always here to support you for what you're doing because we want people to know what's going on in Ohio and across the country, especially when it comes to legislation and it comes to politics. A lot of people do not realize politics drives their life.
You are absolutely right. And Tracy, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for having me on. I would love to be a guest at any time. And I'm going to let you know about this summit we're going to do, maybe a webinar. I want you involved. I want to get your listeners involved. And we're going to show them what happens to your taxes.
We're going to do that. Hold on just a second. I think I have a call. I have a question out of New York. Go ahead, New York.
Hey there. How are you all?
Good.
Good. How are you?
I have a question regarding coal. Since coal pollutes so much, is it possible that we could evaluate more sustainable ways? I know that coal is profitable for some companies and regions, but if it's hurting our environment, doesn't it behoove us to reevaluate our position and not put money before profits, before humanity?
Eli?
All I know is the taxes about coal. I'm happy to look into what you said.
I can answer that. I can answer that a little bit. Let me say this, and I know Sticks can probably piggyback on this. We fail to realize, and I can't speak for New York, but there's a lot of technology that goes – I mean, there's a lot of technology that goes into making sure that your carbon footprint is not overbearing – the human rights and the human life and the quality of life of citizens. There's a lot that goes into that. And there are a lot of companies that they take a great responsibility that they don't infringe upon that gray area. And there's a lot of oversight. But you can go too far. And if you really look at technology with computers, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but we were talking the other day. I have a computer. When I first started 30 years ago, I had a big amber screen, and my phone right now has more memory, has more power, has more of a processor than the huge computer that I have. that and a phone I carry in my pocket. My first phone was a bag phone, and it was as heavy as my briefcase. Technology is insurmountable in where it's going, and we have turned we've scared the crap out of people with misinformation. There's a lot of bad information out there. And so, as we said when we first started the show, and we'll probably go back to when Mr. Miller goes off the line, we need to understand education and knowledge is the key for everything. Sticks?
Yeah. Well, what New York, what you need to understand about the coal industry is the propaganda has been that this is still 1812, and it's not. Actually, we've got two generations of coal miners now that are totally unfamiliar with black lung, and one of the problems that the mining companies are having, because these young people are unfamiliar with black lung, is getting them to wear their safety equipment because they haven't seen the ravages of that disease. We can now create heat from coal without even burning it. Ohio State University has done a lot of research into that. The water leaving a strip mine, an open pit mine now, is cleaner than the water actually entering because of the regulations that we have. Coal is a 21st century fuel. It's not 1812 anymore. But the propaganda against coal is there. I mean, we have the same problem with the fracking thing. You know, every oil well in Ohio, there's about 16,000 of them, has been hydraulically fractured. But until we found out we had more oil in Ohio than they have in the Middle East, nobody cared. So you have to follow the propagandists and what the agenda of the propagandists are.
Yeah. And that goes back to knowledge and information. We need to become more knowledgeable and more educated on a lot of things so that when people come and tell us that something is a certain way, we can ask the right questions, we understand what they're talking about, and we can make sure that they're doing it right. Because are there some bad people out there? Absolutely. And do you need to make sure that they do not, you know, make sure that they take care of their employees, make sure that the emissions and things that come out of there is right? Absolutely. Should coal mines be capped? Absolutely. Those that are not proper, those that are not stable, they should not be mined. Absolutely. But then you need to take what's in your hand and use it, and we're really falling down on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, but none of you has said exactly specifically how the coal industry, a machine type that has changed. I get the feeling that I am for poor people, even though I could be rich.
Well,
I'm for poor people because
poor people and our environment are
the most at risk.
I can give you some specifics. We now scrub all the emissions. Everything that's burned in a coal-fired electric power plant is scrubbed. The emissions are 1/100th, 1/1000th of what they were even 25 years ago. And when you drive past a power plant, you see that white smoke. That white smoke is steam from the cooling towers. It's not smoke. It's steam. So we are burning. We have learned how to burn coal properly. We've learned how to burn coal so it doesn't pollute, and we've learned how to clean the emissions so they don't pollute.
And you know what, New York, what I will do is I'll get some people on here who are part of the coal industry, so that we can talk to them in depth about the mining of coal and clean coal technology. And a lot of people say, well, how can you have clean coal and coal is dirty, but There is a science to it.
Look at it this way. If you took crude oil and you threw a match on it, what kind of a sooty mess would that make?
It'd be ugly.
So if we can refine, if you can understand that we refine crude oil, we also refine coal. Only we do it through the burning process.
It would be great. I'd be interested. I'll look into that further to see if we have cleaned up coal. And
I mean,
may I say that if we develop, the technology that can clean coal, why not take it to the logical next step and utilize the technology to harness sun and wind? Meaning if we're that advanced, it seems as though we should take it to the next step.
Well, let me say this. We need to understand that most people are looking for many, many diverse ways of making sure that the coal and the coal is and we're using wind, solar power, coal. We're using it all. We're looking to do it all. But the problem is they're over-regulating the companies that they don't want, the industry that they don't want to deal with. And that over-regulation is bearing down on the weight of actually executing good energies in coal, because our electricity here in the Mahoning Valley is driven by coal.
And you have to get into the propagandists on this, too. For example, wind power. It takes 75 acres of wind turbines to create 1 megawatt of electricity. And that is, and 75 or 90% of the land that we're putting wind turbines on is land that we use to grow groceries. So what is happening is we're taking land to grow groceries on out of production forever by placing the infrastructure and wind turbines on it. And it's actually, if you want to use the carbon footprint thing, which I think is baloney, but if you want to use the carbon footprint thing, wind actually has a larger carbon footprint than coal does, because you're not taking into account the amount of carbon dioxide that those crops put back into the ground, and you're not taking into account the fact that a wind turbine right now with today's technology takes more energy to create it and install it than it will ever produce. So you have to look at the propagandists and where the technology is at this point.
And who is invested in what and where the money lies, because everything's not common sense. It's just somebody's money that's making sense for them. Listen, I got to take a break. Eli, if you want to stay on with us, you're more than welcome. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so
Tracy.
Excited. Charlie, say.
Tracy?
Eli, are you staying on?
I have another meeting to go to, or I would, but can you give her a message besides thank you? I might have some folks in the coal business that she can talk to. I'm happy to link her up. A guy who used to be a coal miner, county commissioner in Ohio from Marietta. I'm happy to connect them. And do you have an email for Tracy? I have her cell phone, but I want to send her a thank you.
No, I don't have it. This is only my second time calling the show. I'm not actually affiliated. I'm a person that, you know, enjoys sharing information that I learn. But I'll tell her that you said you could have some coal mining specialists come on. By the way, you work for the company, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'll tell her. She may talk to me in the green. And don't forget, you can also leave a quick note for her on the page in the comments area. I don't know if you've ever seen that on Blog Talk.
I'll do that.
And I'll tell her, by the way, don't leave your personal info on that. You might, you know, have a lot of people calling you.
Okay.
I'll
do that. Thank
I'll tell
you.
Them, man. You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right, Jeff. Bye.
Hold these up, please. Thank you.
Oh,
your IDs, put them away first. Look at them and then put them away. I copied everyone's IDs so that you all can have copies of your own stuff, memorize it, have it in case you need it, go to a meeting or medical appointment, et cetera. Do you understand?
Okay.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSL. I want to thank Eli Miller for coming on and talking with us today about Americans for Prosperity, Ohio. And stick this in the studio with me. It is 16 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And today is the 5th of March, 2014. I'm jetting out of here, and you know, I'm going to cause a fire. And Jeff, listen, Sticks, I'm going to put you in charge. And put you in charge.
You're going to put me in charge?
Yeah. Just going to be careful.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to put you in charge.
All right.
This don't let them cuss on the radio.
Can't they check on the radio?
No.
Okay.
No crazy talk.
No Nephilim and...
No Book of Jasher.
Okay.
You know... Talk radio. In New York, your mic is up. The number is 347-945-5229. You were asking about coal and things on that order, and I got to go back to information education and access to it. America's
by the
today,
way,
is there?
Eli said he's going to get you some coal specialists to bring them on.
That's great.
Good.
And I'm passing it on, even though I don't totally agree with his position. I believe that truth should prevail no matter who's right or wrong. We all come to the table and talk. And I like your show. You know why? You're one of the few conservative-type shows that actually listens and allows sometimes diverse opinions. When I say sometimes, many of your points I agree with, some I don't, but it doesn't matter to you. You still don't cut me off, and that's commendable. You, the station, and Sticks should be commended for that. And
pizza
coming your way. On me at some point too.
But let me say that I am, you know, I'm all about. I'm a conservative, and I want to bring since you brought that point up, I want to say something out loud. Ann Coulter is crazy, and I don't care.
Now what did Ann Coulter do? I mean,
she said she refused to board a plane if there's a black pilot. And see, this is the problem. I want all.
Are you sure that's not the Onion?
Listen. This is the problem that I want y'all to understand. This is the problem that we have when it comes to people listening to conservatives in America. She speaks for herself. She does not speak for the institution of conservative politics and or the Republican Party. And definitely not the Republicans that I know, because I would not hang out with crazy like that and not have if you think I have a hard time with Sticks and Jeff and all of you on the radio, I just want you to understand what would happen if Ann Coulter were to come in here right now and we would have a conversation and she would say some crazy stuff like that. I just want you to understand
I'm having a real hard time believing that article.
Why?
No, it's confirmed. She said it. It wasn't the Onion. The Onion, you know. Yeah, she said it.
Okay.
And
you gotta
say
she's just that crazy. She's just
that stupid. Oh, she is crazy.
And she is a woman who will say anything. She is a jock political prostitute. She'll say anything to get her name in the news, and she doesn't care if she burns down the whole house to do it.
And I tell you, there are other people who think like her, though.
Wait a minute.
She is not alone.
I'm looking at the Blaze here, and the Blaze is saying that the Daily Current is the same thing as the Onion.
Listen, Ann Coulter, I'll check it out some more. I'll do some research. But y'all got to understand, there are people that think like that. They believe that the reason why black people are the way they are is because of quotas, and we're not qualified to be where we are.
By the way, Brother Snoops also confirmed it, but there is another website that indicates she didn't say it. So it's something to be considered. But the fact that we could even think that anyone would talk like that today shows, you know,
It shows a divide. It shows a divide because they could make up a similar thing about a white person that Al Sharpton said.
Yeah.
And it would go viral in the same way.
But let me say this. There are people. She did not refuse to board the plane. Okay. Somebody just put it up and put it up in the chat room. Thank you. But she does say wacky stuff that I do not agree with.
Right.
And it's not. And let me say this. You will never get everybody to like everybody else,
right.
No matter whether it be because of their race, because of their size, because of their age. That's just not going to happen.
But Ann Coulter no more speaks for the Republican Party than Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson speaks for the Democrat Party. They're unto themselves.
Can I tell you what they do? Sharpton, I've met him at his place. What they are is the voice that the ignorant listen to. And then the parties can easily say, it's like a mercenary. They're intellectual mercenaries. That's what they do. Meaning they don't say the stuff that the party can say, so they say the stuff that the party wants to say. And then the party can just step back. Now, if the party, Republican and Democratic parties, were serious, they would say publicly, listen, this stuff that Ann or Sharpton is saying, when it's extreme, we don't agree with, and he won't be at our next event. But they don't say it because they're the mercenaries.
But then now let me say this. They can't say that because the party does not have a leader. You have Rice Priebus, and you've got, I can't remember, you've got a...
Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah, the woman that Jeff thinks is sexy. Bad taste. it's the truth. But they don't represent the party because they can't speak for every Republican that says something ignorant. Because let me say it this way. And this is my new motto for this. There are people in the Republican Party that are racist. Yes. There are people in the Republican Party that are prejudiced. Yes. But the institution of the Republican Party is not racist, nor is it prejudiced, nor is it bigoted. But the institution of the Democrat Party is very, very racist to the core. That's why you see in most areas, you don't have white Democrats voting for black Democrats.
Yeah, but a black Republican can win in a white Republican area.
No.
Yes.
No, a black Republican can win in a Republican area, but a black Democrat cannot win in a white Democrat area. Can't
Absolutely.
Happen. 212, your mic is on.
Hey, how's it going, Tracy?
I'm leaving. How you doing? I'm good. I'm good.
I'm good too.
I'm happy.
Yeah, I think the liberals in general are just racist as me.
Not all of them, but they don't love black folks as much as black folks think they do.
Remember the Oscars? That one started laid out with the whole 12 Years a Slave joke.
That's Ellen DeGeneres, wasn't it?
Yeah, she said if they don't win, it's because you're all racist. Well, that's the narrative. They're going to keep pushing that.
Well, Eric, I agree with you that the philosophy is racist because the entire philosophy is you can't make it on your own. You need me to do it for you. And that to me is a racist, sexist, bigoted mindset.
To make a joke out of it, it's even worse.
That was very, very elitist of them.
The poor white people that get food stamps and other assistance, they tend not to get the same vilification. But if a few blacks or Mexicans get, American Mexicans get assistance, it becomes a thing of we are in need and we're that bad guy. We're the least likely to get food stamps. But if you look at it proportionally, due to various factors, we get a lot. But if you look at it in larger numbers, white poor people get more assistance than us, but no one is vilifying them.
Because remember, the media, let's go really go back to the media who actually teaches that. I mean, for years, we need to be honest about this, for years, you would look on the 6 o'clock news and the only person you saw going to jail in orange jumpsuit were black people, but yet that's the only mugshot you saw. Now, if a white person did a crime, you never saw it. You never saw their face. And we need to really go back, and you can go back at least 10 years, 15 years. Not until recently have you been seeing the true white faces of people that do crime. When you see welfare mothers, they show you a black mom. They don't show you the white mom who's on welfare. That's imaging. That's branding. And branding works the same way they brand you at McDonald's. Good, same thing. It's the same thing they do with us as how they want you to perceive who you are and who other people are. That's why Halle Berry couldn't win for playing Isaiah's mom, but she could win for playing in Monsters Ball. That's how, you know, Denzel Washington could not win for playing Malcolm X, but he could win for playing a rogue cop. That's branding. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment on that. The one thing I do see, and I see it from Hollywood, pro athletes, anybody with any kind of power and money, they'll show during Christmas and Thanksgiving, they're handing out gifts and turkeys and everything, and it's always the black people. They don't show that for white people. Why
that's what I'm
that?
Saying. That's what I'm saying. That is
they'll
exactly
show,
what I'm
show
saying.
They show that every doggone holiday. They'll have it this Easter. They'll show it. They'll show it downtown, east side of Cleveland. Cleveland Browns players or Cleveland Indian players handing out stuff in black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You tell me. I mean, that's the truth. That's the way it is. And they, you know, and the media helps do that.
And not only do they help do it, they actually create it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
The joke used to be when you go to a horror flick, if there was a black person in it, you know he was going to die. He was first one to get.
Yeah,
he was first one out.
First one. It's true.
You know, I got to laugh at that one. That's bad.
Well, look at the Revenge of the Nerds movie.
What'd you say?
If they laugh till the end of a movie, I'm in shock. Like, oh, my God, the
That's
brother
right.
lives? Am
That's
I alive?
Right.
Is this heaven?
Well, look at the stereotype of the black young man in the Revenge of the Nerds movie. You didn't see it?
No.
There was one black guy in a fraternity, and he just happened to be little light in the loafers. Oh, he wasn't just gay. He was flaming gay.
I mean, but you have to understand that. As a matter of fact, you can't name me too many African-American male movie stars who has not played a drag queen who's been successful.
Yeah,
that's true.
Can
I mean,
tell
look
you
at
because I'm involved.
No,
in
no,
it.
No.
It's like
no, I'm not talking about.
Film.
I'm talking about currently. I'm talking about currently.
Yeah, it's like it's a rite of passage to be in the big boys club. You have to put on a dress.
But can I tell you because
you,
I'm in entertainment on the executive
hey,
level. The issue is a deep one, but I think there are several factors we have to take into account. I'm a straight male, but in entertainment, homosexuals are everywhere. I have nothing against them. So that group works together, and they push certain themes. But also, I think the quote enjoys seeing a black man in a dress because, to them, it weakens him. I don't know if it's necessarily a thing of them thinking, let's get black men to stick their booties up and do something. I think it's just a way to put us down. Meanwhile, black and gay writers that I run into, they're going to push certain agendas because they're fighting for their rights.
Tracy, I have a solution to something.
I'm up for solution.
The coal fire plants that you're talking about.
Yes.
I suggest that they start shutting them down at that New York South and at the liberal media's stations. We'll see how that works for them.
No. Listen.
Yeah.
Alex put in the chat room that the problem with wind power and stuff like that, you cannot harness that power and store it for when you need it. You got to use it when you have it.
Right. Coal or natural gas, you can spin that turbine faster or slower, and
you can
take it on and offline. and wind power and solar. You just got to use it as it makes it.
No, we'll just shut it down at the liberals' houses and at their studios.
Yeah. Well, you got to realize now. Hold on now, Colt. Now you can't do that because what's his name? Al Gore.
The White House has its own dedicated coal-fired power plant.
Yes. You took the words right out of my mouth. Thank you.
But see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
I don't hear you, New York.
That offline.
I don't
well,
know.
I can
I don't
respond
hear you, New
didn't
York.
Hear me. I'm going to respond to that. Thank you for this opportunity to respond. The politicians on both sides of the aisle say one thing and often do another. So what they do, if we judge a political establishment based on the politicians, then we've fooled ourselves. If the electricity has to go off. Let me finish. If the electricity has to go off, my family doesn't mind because we have gone off the grid with no electricity just to see how we would survive, and we actually have a plan that we have put a folder together. However, unfortunately, most people would not know what to do, so it would hurt far many people. It'll hurt a lot of people. But me, I don't care.
I want to talk to him.
Hold on. Go ahead, 440, because I want you to respond, because that's a weird dude.
The biggest dog is doing all the barking, and that's the president, about this coal, about coal power. And he's the one that's abusing it. You know, what a bunch of crap that is. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Democratic
but the question
leaders
is, why don't we hold them to
task?
We don't hold them to task.
Let's remember that, folks, the average voter is not a hypocrite like the average politician or preacher. The good church member, the good Republican Democrat is trying to live by what the leaders say. The problem is behind closed door, all of our leaders are in bed together smoking a blunt and making jokes about us. I don't think they're sincere in the least. So if we should fight each other over our leaders, we should fight each other over, well, how can we not fight each other?
Yeah, they're passing laws for us, not themselves.
And wait a minute, the Affordable Health Care Act is not going to be enacted with them.
Right.
But let me ask you guys this. I got to take a break. Let me ask you guys this. Why don't we fight them and not one another? I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Hey, bro, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm okay. I had my phone on mute because I have to cook for my homeschool children, and then I have some meetings, so I didn't want to disturb the show. But,
I'm getting. Oh, go ahead, sir.
But, no, you said you headed out soon also, or you were saying something?
Yeah, I said I'm kind of muted myself. I'm kind of doing stuff around the house.
Yeah, and I have 4 meetings that have been on the plate, but I wanted to call Tracy's show because it's a really wonderful show, and I like the opportunity to, you know, discuss with intelligent people the issues that we face as A, Americans, B, as minorities, C, as conscious people of any color, and D, as humans. And if we don't come together and solve these problems, we're going to be arguing as the planet is, you know, going in turmoil, which it already almost is down the toilet.
It's
plunging quickly.
Yeah, it's happening now. And this show, she lets everybody voice their opinion, you know. It's not like other talk shows where as soon as you don't agree with the host, they cut you off. And
But they call you devil worshiper or, you know, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I was on a show and I mentioned one thing that they didn't agree with. I wasn't cursing or anything, and next thing I knew, I was, you know, gone. How do we learn from each other if we don't hear the perspective, even if you don't agree? Some psycho comes on that kills children. Hey, what do you do? Oh, I kill children for a living. You don't cut them off. You say, wait a minute. Where does this guy live? What is he thinking? What is he eating? Do his parents know? You know, how else do we fix things? And in fact, we may learn that they were lying about him. No, I kill little baby sheep. When they said children, they were talking about kids or goats. You know what I mean? It takes intelligent thinking and not constantly jumping to a final conclusion, like with the Ann issue. I had heard also that she had said that. But in looking at some sites, I'm now
on the fence because it seems as though she may not have. We have to be adult and humble enough to step back and say, okay, mm-hmm. I was wrong on this position, or I'm reevaluating this position, or no, this position, your point isn't valid because you haven't provided any real evidence besides ad hominem fallacies, et cetera. But,
exactly.
Most people aren't talking on this level, though, because they haven't been educated in figures of speech and the use of linguistics to win an argument and history of America and Africa. So they just go with the leaders, and the leaders are playing us all.
Yeah, you're right.
By the way, there was another guy on the line, but he's not talking now, I guess.
Yes,
you heard
I don't know what happened to him. Yeah, I don't know what happened to him.
Wanted to give him some feedback. But a lot of times what happens is people make comments and then disappear. I think it's good to actually defend your position if it's defensible. So what did you think of the comments so far today? What were your thoughts, on the show?
Well, I will say I do agree with the whole part about the coal. I do think that they are going too far, trying to ban all that stuff. I mean, right now we need it, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, we're not ready for a cut. But my position is we should be evaluating what future we want to leave for the next generation. And a part of that will mean even if we find the cleanest way possible to take out the coal, we're destroying the environment just by digging it up. We've got to really go beyond money, I think, to solve some of the problems. And that's going to be hard to do because it moves everything around us,
Mm-hmm.
Like Biggie Small said.
Yeah. I mean, you can come up with the greatest idea in the world, but if it's not going to benefit people financially, then it's not going to go anywhere.
No, it's not. And if you just look at the list of billionaires. No one's being a billionaire for spreading love, feeding children, cleaning the environment. They're billionaires mm-hmm. because they come up with tools, resources, equipment, in most cases, that I think somewhat negative outputs, even though the profits are there. Chase Bank, Citibank, computer software. No one's looking at the fact that so much of the resources are taken from third world, and we don't even pay the folks.
That is true. That is one of the downs. That was the downfall of that's one of the bad aspects of that, is that, some people are getting and making it, but other people aren't.
Yeah. And the Occupy Wall Street movement has a major flaw. That's why I didn't go down when my friends were going. The Occupy Wall Street movement is basically saying we want a piece of the pie that the rich folks are getting. They were not saying our system is pretty repressive and oppressive of certain parts of the world. Our system is not looking out for the elderly and the very poor. How to restructure the system so that it does that? But the same thing with the Tea Party. There are two extremes, one extreme liberal, one extreme conservative Tea Party, not thinking that Mexicans are coming across the border, aren't causing the economy to crash. They're just picking oranges for a dollar every hour. You know what I mean? We find the scapegoat instead of dealing with the politicians and the CEOs of Wall Street and Chase and all the other banks.
Right. Everybody asked the question, how come those guys didn't go to jail? The reason they didn't go to jail is because they didn't do anything wrong. They wrote the people don't realize that. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, they wrote the laws.
Yeah, they wrote the rule book.
it's a wild world, man.
Mm.
But hopefully we can all come to terms on common ground. That's the main point, common ground.
Mm-hmm.
You're in New York also or no?
I'm in Ohio, actually. I'm actually about I'm pretty local to the show. Actually, the show is about 40 minutes from here is where the studio is.
Okay. Well, I'm all the way in New York City.
Yeah. How's the weather out there today?
I haven't been out yet or checked on the news, but it was deadly cold. But our deadly cold to you all would be like a walk in the park, I guess.
Yeah, it's about it's about 15 here right now, and so hopefully we'll get some good warm weather coming our way pretty soon.
I was hoping to mention on the radio the fact that the reason cocaine and certain drugs are extremely bad for black people, we actually have a genetic flaw that leads to us not being able to metabolize the drugs properly. So we get hooked much easier, which helps to explain why the crack epidemic, which was put, well, allowed to be put into our communities, was so destructive. They didn't choose, you know, certain drugs. They chose the ones that would hit us very hard. I don't remember the name of the gene, but it's a specific gene. And the Irish have a similar problem, I've heard, with certain liquor, and so do some Native Indians.
Yeah.
You know, I could have done this video.
I know you could. Have I seen your
pictures? Oh, I could have done this. I could have done this video justice.
But I'm telling you, that girl's going to jail.
Why?
I'm telling you. You dance around in the middle of the night like that in a gas station, somebody's calling you up because they think you're on drugs. You know, they just bring the paddy wagon and come put you in a rubber jacket and take you away.
They should have called me for this. I could have dealt with that. I'm serious. It's just give me that outlet over there. Yeah. I need that one.
I bet Putin's singing this song right now.
Tracy's building up her power packs here. She's going to be on. She told me that she's flying to Florida by way of California because she bought a cheap ticket.
That's what happens when you don't have money like my friend. You gotta.
I bet Putin's
singing
this song right now.
You gotta.
Yeah,
you gotta.
You're so politically connected. I figured you'd just call up somebody and get on a private jet.
Mm-hmm. Galactic Scientist, I do love the song. I do. I have it bad. I can't help it. I'm,
hey,
you know, yes, sir.
I bet Putin's singing that song right now.
Yeah, he is. yeah.
Question. What do y'all think about Putin?
Well, you know,
what a name. How you get a name like Putin? I know Putin, you know, it's like Putin Tang, but his name is Putin. I mean, Putin is like,
well,
Putin.
That, you know, that's a Phil Collins song from the 80s.
What?
Pootio. Pootio.
You know that's corny. Stay away from Ben. That's just corny.
It was meant to be.
That was corny, corny.
It was meant to be. I mean, you know, what?
That was a bit corny.
You know this is all about oil.
It can't be about oil.
Yeah, it seems that the Ukraine is sitting on a bunch of natural gas, and they signed contracts with a couple of U.S. companies. But they signed a contract with a couple of U.S. companies, and they were supposed to start horizontal drilling and fracking over there within a couple of years, which would put a serious hurting on the Russian monopoly on natural gas to Western Europe.
And Putin
don't like it.
Putin don't like it.
No.
So what's let me ask you guys, and I'm real slow, and I'm private call, I'm going to pull you up. I need to know. Why is America so concerned about what Putin and the Ukraine does? Why is it so important now?
Well, for one thing, we signed a treaty that says we would protect them. When they gave up, they agreed to give up their nuclear weapons, and we signed a treaty saying we would protect them. But what you have to understand is the Russians are not going to give up those Black Sea ports because that is the only warm water port the Russians have. Those are the only warm water ports the Russians have. They can't give those ports up.
But why are we concerned? I mean, we're in this like they're coming to Youngstown, Ohio. I mean, why are we so concerned about this? I mean, and now, you know, Romney said, you know, that
Palin
said, Romney said, We laughed at both of them. You know, she could see Russia from her house. I guess they called her 999 and said, hey, this is what's going on, and nobody paid attention to her. But my question is, why are we so engaged in it?
Well, because he's destabilizing Western Europe.
And
yes,
if you destabilize Western Europe, you end up in a world war.
Yeah, similar to what happened in Libya, when you have a person creating a currency that will destabilize your region, you tend to react. So the same thing seems to be happening. By the way, I'm going to be leaving because I got to wrap up some stuff. I always appreciate you all and your time, and I'm looking forward to talking again.
Well, come back and see us again. It's good to have you.
Thank you all, family. You all stay strong.
Thank you.
I'll keep New York City warm for you. God bless. Bye.
Do that. And don't send any cold air this way. Private caller, your mic is on.
How you doing, Tracy? This is Mike.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Pretty good. I would like to get into what real quick, Tracy. I must say, I don't want to disappoint you. But that Ann Coulter situation about the female black pie, it was a satire. I thought it was true, too. But it's a satire. I mean, if it was real, MSNBC would be all over it. I mean, she would be out.
No, they wouldn't be. Yeah, they wouldn't be all over it.
But I can picture her saying that. But I feel you, though, Tracy. I really do feel you. And when you were comparing, you're like trying to separate yourself. And I understand.
No. You got to understand, I may be Republican, but I don't do crazy.
Well, I don't think people understand that.
No, I mean, seriously, I don't do crazy.
Yeah, to separate yourself. I got that, Tracy.
Man, listen. I mean, I'm a Republican. Listen, I'm a Republican, and right now I got red, white, and blue socks on. I ain't crazy. You know, I'm colored, and we're not going to play like that. Hold on, Mike. I got to explain the thing. You got to understand, as a black person, you don't see, if you, I'm not trying to lose my permanent card.
Right.
See, there's a black card, and you can lose your black card. But when you lose your permanent black card, you don't want to do that. And see, that's what's wrong with a lot of African Americans, a lot of black folks. They think they're somewhere and they forget who they are. And as a black person, you should never forget that you the skin you're in. Because the day you forget the skin you're in is the day you've lost your mind.
Right,
can I get
exactly.
an amen?
I got an amen for that because I was talking to he doesn't describe it, and he calls himself a conservative, but he says Obama is not black. He describes black as poor, impoverished, white as privileged and wealthy. I ask him, what are you? He never responds to me. And people have a problem of identifying themselves black. Now, it's a situation where he was around this white lady and they had something going on. She met some new friends, and her white friends didn't like that, you know, relationship between her and him, and they slowly pulled him away by attacking him. Now, we're trying to tell them sometimes you can have the illusion of inclusion with some groups. We're all American, but I'm just saying some groups. If you're not going to identify yourself, people will identify yourself with you. I asked the man, listen, I said, you seen my image. If I was walking down the street, what would I describe you? If you look in the mirror, what would you describe you? So some people are still in denial. You know, he's wealthy and have that, but some people have that philosophy. Tracy, so
color,
it's a lot of people out here with that mentality, though. It's a lot of people out here with that mentality with self-identification, though.
Six got a question for
you. Because the president's a biracial man. So why is he black and not white?
Because at one time it was called a drop theory.
Okay. Well, no, first of all, because he identifies himself as black. And if we didn't know anything about his mother and past, if he was walking down any street in America, we would identify him as black. If a crime was stuck, so let's not play with games here.
But let me
he's
say this, Mike.
I'm
Mike. No, hold on, Mike.
I'm not meaning
no,
to
Mike,
play.
Mike.
I'm not
I mean,
meaning to play.
But let me say this. You have to understand, at one time, I could have been as light as you with two blue eyes.
The one drop law.
But the one drop rule ran. Right. And if my mama was black or my daddy was black, I was black. But let me say this. President Obama is an African American. Mike, this is where I have some difference.
Okay, semantics. We playing with semantics.
No. Reason why I said it, and I got into trouble in a conversation the other day about this because I don't believe, and I have some interracial friends and that have been raised in environments outside of the black community. And when I say the black community, they have been raised, I mean, way outside of the black community. And so they have been dark in color, but in raising and actually in interaction, the black experience, I mean, when your mom sat down and talked, you know, when black moms and black dads sit down and start talking to the little black boys when they had parents and said, listen here, boy, listen, you're a black man in America. When the cops pull you over, you put your hands on 10 and 2. And you ask them what it is. If you have a problem, this is what you do. Because walking and being black in America could get you killed. You know, that conversation usually doesn't come from a little white mama who is living in the suburbs with her grandmama who's the president of a bank in Hawaii. Now, he may have had some discrimination, and I will give him that. But the experience of living in Chicago as a young boy at 5, 6, 7 years old, he didn't have that experience. And so I think that's where the separation comes in. Now, his wife did.
Oh, yeah. Right. When I was young, I was told. When I was young, I was told, when I got my license, don't you leave home without it.
Absolutely. They sat down and talked to you. When you were black growing up, your parents sat down and talked to you about who you were being black in America, and don't be stupid when you go out in the street, because if you do, it may take your life.
Right, like I tell my sons, I said, if some cop pull you over, you got about a minute and a half or 2 minutes before they come in your car, just have your registration and driver's license out for them. That's all, because some people are like that. But real quick, though, Tracy, I understand what you're saying, but this is the point I'm trying to make. No matter how much money I have, no matter how much Obama has, no matter what my upbringing is, because of my skin color in this country, other people are going to identify me that. Now, I can maybe be an Uncle Tom all I want, but my Uncle Tom, but around all those quote-unquote white people and ethnic groups that I'm around, they're going to look at me, and they're not going to include me only to a certain extent, Tracy. That's what I'm saying. And sometimes when people think, well, I got that's all I'm saying. I'm just talking about the man.
Oh, that's
now,
true, because right now, if he's driving to Detroit right now.
Let me say this,
right now, President Obama right now go put on a pair of khakis and a shirt and a baseball cap and go driving in Detroit at the wrong time on the wrong side or go out there to the suburbs somewhere, he going to get pulled over like everybody else. And that is what it is. And if you don't think that's going to happen to him and if he don't think that's going to happen to him, he crazy because it's real. Because they pull over Tyler Perry. They pull over whoever you look. What you doing here? You don't belong here. 8440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I was going to disagree with you about the president. He identifies himself as a black man.
That's
everybody
right.
does. He wants that. He embraced it. He just soon spit at a white person, really. That's my opinion. Unless he can spit at the average white guy.
No, baby. You missed the point. He is an elitist. He's not about race
right.
at all.
Right, right.
Because, see, if I was in the White House, you would see a black person in the White House. You see a diplomat in the White House. And you see an elitist in the White House. You see a progressive in the White House. But you sure don't see a black in the White House because I'm a black from the 60s.
I do.
No,
every time he has a press conference, it's loaded with black people. He makes it a point.
Dude, it ain't loaded with black people. Listen,
no.
They hired black people.
Oh, yeah.
No, listen. They hired, you're not listening, they hired black people. But when I went up to the White House and went to the press corps, I looked in there and said, wow, is this a white sea of people? So don't get it twisted. America, white America hired black America because they said, oh, white people will actually sometimes listen to black people since they got a black president. We ain't seen this many black people on TV in our lives.
When he signed that Obamacare bill, who was standing right there with him?
You don't understand the difference between photo op and what's actually going on.
Yeah, he
what's
did that
going
on
purpose. In front of the curtain and what's going on behind the curtain.
He ain't doing this because he loves black people. How you going to get me in the White House for 6 years and not do nothing for black people if you love them?
I guarantee he has disdain.
And his wife is worse. She's worse.
It's not about being worse.
She was ashamed to be American.
Hold on, sweetie. And I'm going to tell you, this is where y'all want y'all to listen to what I'm saying. I am a black woman in America, and I could feel her sentiment because she was just as shocked of the embrace of white America of her as everybody else that was black that was her. And she said, right now, she was very proud. She felt very proud to be an American because you have to understand, white people beat the hell out of you if you tried to be an American because you couldn't be one because you were inferior to them because they were superior to you. And y'all need to understand, y'all did that for a very long time.
Holding on to that.
Listen to what I'm saying.
On to that book too long.
What is
listen,
American culture?
No,
because
you
America
be,
has many cultures.
Listen, you
what
gotta
is
understand, being black in America, you were inferior to anything that was lighter than you, because white was always right, white was always pretty, blue was always great. That's why you got a bunch of crazy black girls running around here with somebody else's hair in their head, trying to look like white people, with blue contacts.
Who's the most hated demographic in the United States right now?
Pardon me?
Do you want to know who it is? It's the white male.
Say that again.
I don't give a darn if it's Hispanic. I don't care if it's Indian or whatever. White males are hated more than anyone.
No, they're not hated.
White males are envied. They're not hated.
Come on. No,
because it's still a white man's world. Because the white man still holds the power.
Yeah, and you guys hate us for it.
We don't hate you. We envy you.
You are missing the point.
No, we envy you. We want to be like Mike. We want to be like white. We want to be you.
Well, no, they fear us, and then that false fear turns into hate.
No, we want to be like you.
No, you don't.
No, well,
you want what we have, but you don't want to be white, and you don't want to be. You don't want to be our culture.
You don't listen. Do you?
Yeah,
ooh, you don't listen.
You want what we have.
I don't want what you have. I want to be white because white was right, and y'all taught white was right. Oh, absolutely. You were elitist.
Every
you were superiority, and white was right.
Show, white is not right.
Oh, white was right. Don't get me wrong. You had yay indoctrinated. That's why you couldn't find a black baby doll nowhere in America from 60s all the way into the 80s. Because you had to have a little white doll. Because white was pretty. White was great. G.I. Joe was white. The superheroes were white. Everything that was great in America was white. It is what it is. And you gave black people no self-pride. No, it's real.
No.
What is the American culture, sir? What is the American culture? What is the evidence? When you say we suppose this American culture, we spoke. What is that? Oh, she's on break.
I'm hearing silence. What's going on?
Hello, did she go to break? Who's online? She go to break?
Yeah, I'm the white guy that everybody envies, evidently. I don't want to believe it.
Oh, you just the guy that just came in?
Yeah. I don't agree with that. That the white male in this country is hated.
Hold on, let me see if she's on commercial.
And you know what? That's just not my opinion. Every white guy that I know has. We think that we are hated. We are opposite of everybody.
Who, the white guys?
Yeah.
Well, no. Well, see, this is the problem is that not hated. When we passed the immigration bill, I think the Hispanics are going to be the most hated because the cheap labor and things, and it's not going to be only hurting African Americans. Born. See, people that's born from African-American descendants, our grandfathers and grandmothers all already work for cheap labor. So us as an Americans, we're not going to work for cheap labor. Just like a Caucasian or another immigrant coming over here, we're not going to work for cheap labor. So we're already in the struggle, so that's a power struggle too. So one thing, I understand what you're saying, a most hated group, but some Caucasians going to be out of jobs, and African is going to be out of jobs because of the immigration, cheap labor, and things of that nature. They have a home.
I agree
they have
with you 100%.
They have a country where they can take that $3.50, send it back home to Mexico, and it's worth $25. We don't have that as natural-born African-Americans. We don't have cheap manufacturing. Now, Caucasians, you guys can manufacture. Your manufacturing plants have been going from the start of this country to now. Me, as an African-American, if I wanted to start a manufacturing company in my community, taking raw materials from the earth and manufacturing, using the engineering and the mechanics and things of that nature, make that product and sell it around the world. I can't do it because I can't hire nobody with $7.25 an hour manufacturing something. So cheap labor is hurting us also as far as people with me. And my, so we're at the bottom of the barrel of the economics and starting an empowerment, so to speak. But you guys are the most hated. It's hate on all sides. Both sides are looking at each other with hate.
Yeah, and more than ever. Why? You want to know why? Because you now have a president that is using divisiveness to try to accomplish his goals. He wants everybody out of each other's throat.
Who doesn't?
And not
who
just
hasn't?
Him, it's just in Congress. In Congress also.
Who hasn't? Who hasn't used division to try to solve problems in this world? What leader? Reagan's done it. Carter did
it. Well, that's what I
everybody
mean.
Everybody tried to bring division.
You know, but, I mean, right now, if you really want to know who has enslaved blacks more than anyone else, and nobody even talks about it. It's the Arab world, and they continue doing it. They make what we did look like nothing, and they continually do it. They're doing it now, but nobody talks about it.
Well,
did you know that?
What you're talking about?
Saudi Arabia, Libya, they use black labor. They snatch them people right out of the country.
Right.
I mean, it's millions. Millions.
And who sells cigarette and alcohol in the black communities? Arabs?
Well, Arabs, and they have the lock on a gas station, and they're starting to own bars now. But if you look at all the gas stations in our community, see, these are people, foreigners, who can work in the communities that other Americans or black Americans don't want to have a business and work in because of the crime and the rape and things of that nature. And plus, they have more money. To get a liquor license here in Maryland is going to cost $1 million, or I'm going to have to get with the mob or something. But they have money. They've been put it together. So when they go to their stockholders or their suppliers, they have money. The more money or the more things you can buy, the more cheaper. Plus, they have cheap labor from foreign countries. They already have connections. Me, as a black American, I don't have that far as manufacturing. That's what that creates real wealth and real economic power. I can't do it because I can't pay my people cheap, and we never should, because our grandfathers and grandmothers has already worked for cheap labor before. I know I just, you know, I'm being redundant, but that's just the truth. And that's just how it is. Now, having said that, that's not saying that you can't start a business, you can't do that. I'm just saying that's a variable, and you can't deny that. Let's talk about everything. If you're going to talk about an aspect of the black community, the white community, you got to talk about every aspect. You just can't point at four variables and say this is the problem when you not when you're forgetting about all the rest of the six. So we bring everything together and try to look at it all at once and say, you know what? I think if we all look at it and be honest, then we can find out which course to take. But a lot of people come with biases and only look at 1%, you know, one point of it.
Yeah. Another reality about the manufacturing, though, is the fact that a lot of manufacturing companies aren't really being built anyway. They're just being bought and sold.
Right, but and whoever buys them is still having that monopoly on it.
True.
And then let's talk about the foreign labor. We can't do it. I keep on talking about my manufacturing business that I want to hire my community. I can't pay them $350 an hour. They go, manufacturing in America, we like stuff. We, you know what I mean? I understand that. So I'm not saying we're about, what, $15, $17, $20 an hour.
Okay, it's 11. It's 6 minutes after 11 o'clock, and this is, you have at least two more times to hear this song for at least 5, 6, 7 days, because I'm quite sure Jeff will not play it. What do you think? You don't think he'll play it?
No, I do not think he played until Tracy returns.
So you won't hear the happy song until I come back?
We're gonna find another happy song.
You know what happiness is to you. Happy alone if you feel like that's what you wanna do.
Anybody that can call me and tell me that white men are at the bottom of the list and then not understand that it's not that we want to be what we have, we want to just he's the target. If he's number one, number two always strives to be number one, and everybody under them strives to be number one, and that's why the white man is a target. You got to be happy about that.
Yep.
You should be proud to be on top and be a target, because we're
like
coming after
you. Like I told you in the break, though, there's a whole group of us that were beat down, and we see the next guy, too, is being beat down. We don't realize he's getting beat down worse than we are.
But the problem is, I keep on telling you, you had access. You could walk into a room and have access. Somebody could invite you to a club, put on a jacket and go and have access. A black man could not walk in the room unless he was the butler. As a matter of fact, in 1983, I was over at the Youngstown Country Club. Over on Logan, so I just want to make sure. And we were there, and I was a guest of someone there. And I said, how do you become a member here? And he says, you can't. But I could work there.
Wait, what year was this?
1983.
Because you were a woman, you couldn't be a member.
No, because I was black. He said I could work there, but I couldn't be a member there. Now you got to understand, if you can't join, no matter how much money you have, that tells you you don't have access. I left the next week.
The illusion of inclusion. The illusion of inclusion.
I left town. I couldn't handle that. That's real. You could have gone in there, and if you had a check, if you wanted to mortgage your house to join, you could have joined.
No, they still wouldn't let me in.
They'd let you in.
I guarantee they wouldn't let me in. They might let somebody else in.
They'd let you in. It depends on how much money you have, because when black folks started getting money, they started taking black folks. But when business started going down, but when it was at its height, you couldn't have access there. All the deals were there. The golf course was there. That's where people did. That's where they transacted their business. We didn't have access to that. I mean, I hate to, you know, bust everybody's bubble, but that's the fact of the matter. Sad but true. And so, and the white man, he feels as though he's hated, but he's not hated. He's the target because it's still a white man's world. He still controls everything. He still owns everything, and he still has everything.
No, you're missing it.
What do you mean, no?
Who's got all the power, don't you?
No.
Women.
No.
Yes.
No.
You know why?
Why? Yeah, because they got a white man.
Nope. because they got half the money and they got all of what every man wants.
No, no, not when it comes to power. It's still a white man's world.
Okay.
You go into
How many guys have fallen down because of the winky?
Listen,
and you're telling me women ain't got all the power.
No. Listen, the only reason why men are falling down, and men just didn't start having problems with the winky. The problem is, the winky now, women just have learned how to charm the winky and then capitalize on it.
That's what I said. Women got all the power.
No. They don't have the power because they still don't have the winky. They've learned how to charm the winky, but they don't have the winky. Because white men still have all the power. They still have, they still make all the rules. Look at the Senate floor. Look at the House floor. That's a sea of white.
Yeah,
Republican and Democrat.
We've had this discussion before. Would you rather be a king or a kingmaker? Women are kingmakers.
Well,
80%
of Congress is white males, right?
80%
of Congress.
And as a matter of fact, if you look around, the kingmakers are not the women. The kingmakers are still
the
white males.
Look at the state legislators. You got to realize we may own districts and cities, but statewide, the state members and the Congress, it's just a fact. I mean, just look.
Let's go to the lobbyists. As a matter of fact, you cannot find me a black and or a woman CEO of a major insurance company. Lobbyists are still white males. Now, they may have a chick on the side.
You're confusing lobbying companies and insurance companies.
Same thing.
No, they're not.
What I'm saying. The people that hold the power, who wield the power to make legislation fall on their behalf, are not females. They're not African Americans. They're not Latinos. They're white males. It is. I mean, look at that. I don't even think your banking institutions have a lot of females and or African. I don't think they have any African Americans that are leading those. I looked around. I was in a place the other day, and I looked around the room, and it was all white males. I said, "Wow, it's still a white man's world."
There's a black man in charge of Merck and Company. There's a black
Merck
woman.
Is what?
Merck. It's a pharmaceutical company.
That is not insurance. That's pharmaceutical.
Looking
American
Xerox is a black woman.
Insurance. The power. Who wields the power in America? Insurance companies. Da 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 da.
American Express.
I said insurance, not credit cards. As a matter of fact, if you go to Wall Street, you're not going to find a whole bunch of white women or black folks, women or men, wielding too much power on Wall Street. You might have a token sitting on a board, but you don't. Definitely don't. They're not wielding any power on there. They're not the chairman of those boards.
Jesse Hill Jr.
If we were on Wall Street, all of those people
Jesse,
in the stock
Jesse
market
Hill
would
Jr.
have went to jail.
Jesse Hill Jr.
What he's on Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac?
Atlanta Life Insurance Company.
What is that? I said major. I didn't say something to be pulled up. As a matter of fact, we have a black insurance company. I think it was called Liberty, wasn't it? Eric, your mic's on. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 14 minutes after the hour on the 5th of March, 2014. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends. 6 and 9 here in the studio. And it is we're doing an open mic for the most part. But come on now, look at that. Now, white men may have a hard way to go right now because they are the target. But it's not because they hate them. It's because they're still number one. And number two, three, four, five, and six is always still trying to go up the head of number one. So don't hate it for, you know, trying to become like it.
Well.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
Tracy.
Yeah.
This is Mike. I wanted to talk about something real quick. I heard I played back one of your shows, and you guys were discussing about this Russian situation, and, you know, Jeff was getting on Obama about he shouldn't strike and he's dumb. And I was hearing all these opinions
And I said, well, see, people are having it two ways. They say Obama has committed more drone strikes than President Bush. Obama wanted to strike Syria, right? And no one, everyone said, no, don't strike Syria. We don't want to go to war. We don't want that. We don't want any of that. So he said, you know what? I'll let Congress and let the Senate have their hearings on it. But he could have struck Syria because he has a 90-day window. He's a commander-in-chief. After that 90th day, Congress must declare war. So he has wiggle room, factually. But now, all of these people were talking about Obama. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't make a decision. But he would strike any time he wants to. See, you have to have a balance.
President Obama, let me say this. President Obama is over his head.
Yeah, he doesn't do foreign policy very well.
Well, when he tried to do foreign policy and stand firm on something, then they criticize him. But you got to realize, see, Russia, to me personally, how I look at it, Russia and United States, the war has not been over because all of the wars have been proxy wars. If I'm supplying somebody and then you supply somebody and both of the people that we supply are fighting each other, we still at war with each other. And directly, we're still at war. So
but
this
listen,
has been going on all the time.
But President Obama is over his head.
He's not. He's the President of the United States. What do you mean he's over his head?
No. He got into something. And
who
don't get me wrong.
Who's over his head right now?
No. President Obama is in his administration of what
Vladimir.
He does, what he knows. President Obama is way, way, way over his
President
head.
President Obama got elected to a position he was not qualified to hold.
Okay, but listen, you don't have to be an attorney general to go there. Come on, let's go to back to civics class. You don't have to do it, so you just got to say what it is. You don't have
to do it.
I mean, you can't say that.
Legally qualified to hold the position.
Hold on. Paula, I love you. But Gayle King is the executive vice president, chief administrative officer, but she is not the CEO of that corporation. Don't get me wrong. We got positions. We got some jobs. But we ain't willing to no power because we still beholden to the boss. We ain't the boss.
Okay, but
not an insurance company.
But
go
crazy.
Ahead. Yeah.
He's acting like a boss with his executive orders.
Listen to what I'm saying. President
for the black community.
Listen.
I mean,
listen. Mike, listen to me.
Without nobody saying nothing.
Listen to what I'm saying. President Obama did not have the political expedience and savvy when he went into the office. He did not have the foreign policy under his belt, nor did he have the – hold on. Listen to what I'm saying. Nor did he have the one-on-one connections to where they were beholden to him because he was so young in the game.
Nor did he have the managerial experience of running a large entity.
There's a lot of people that don't have the managerial experience of running the large company. He didn't have
– I didn't say company. I said entity.
Entity. He didn't have the wielding. He wasn't around it. He didn't – even though he was brilliant in where he was, where he got to where he's going, because I have to give it to you, he had some people around him when he ran his campaign that knew what they were doing because they was really doing some serious stuff. So yes, that's fine and good. Don't you know policy stuff, but as far as him having the experience, the foresight, and the wherewithal that he needs for what he's doing right now, it is far beyond his years. He just doesn't have it. Nor does the people around him, because if they did, they wouldn't be as sloppy as they are. There's a lot of stuff going on in the administration right now that's sloppy. Benghazi, sloppy. IRS, sloppy.
You know
what? Fast and Furious, sloppy. Eric Holder, sloppy. That's some sloppy stuff. And listen,
you know
let me say it this way. It's like, oh, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to get, I mean, he and I disagree with President Obama legislatively and on policy. But let me say this. I give the man credit for what he did. But don't get me wrong. He has been very, very sloppy. Bill Clinton, he not sloppy. He got caught with his pants down, but he still wasn't sloppy when he did it. Because when you caught him on a dime, he knew what to say and what not to say so that he could not, when he got impeached, he wouldn't be crucified.
Tracy. Watch this, Tracy. Obama sit up there and he said, if Syria crossed the line, I will strike. And he gave factual information. Hold on for a minute. Now watch this. He gave factual information. He says we have recordings, and Putin and none of them, when they went to G20 meeting, none of them denied President Obama facts that about the chemical weapons. He wanted to strike. What did the Republicans say? We don't want to go to war. I'm getting all my constituents, 30,000 emails. Hold on. 30,000 emails from my constituents. Come on, Jeff. 30,000 emails from our constituencies. We don't want to go to war. Curry said we want to strike everyone. So don't tell me that he's not trying to do nothing and have his military power.
Listen, hold on. Mike, go Google.
Come on. I followed the trade.
Go Google what happened with Syria. He told them not to cross the line, and when they crossed the line, Putin came in and up and strike the deal. Putin punked him then. That's a problem. Putin stepped up, stuck his chest out, and he's the one who struck the deal. President Obama's administration, nor did he make that happen. That's the problem. Putin, we still talking about Putin. That's what's wrong. We still talking about Putin and not Obama. He's sloppy. He got a sloppy game. Hey, Jeff.
Hey. Now, he's got the facts mixed up because that's not what happened. First of all, if he was standing firm on any kind of foreign policy, he wouldn't have leaned over to Medvedev and said, I'll be a little more flexible after the election. Now, he's flexible all right because they got him turned down with his hands touching his toes. Bend down, touch your toes. Putin got the thing to make your booty go smack, because that's what he's doing. He's smacking his booty, and he is losing. He lost in Syria, talking all this bravado. If he used those weapons, we're going to go in, and there will be action. We will stop this, that, and the other. And guess what? It was proven by their standards that the weapons were used, the weapons. And what did Mr. Obama do? Nothing. Not a doggone thing.
Well, I mean, you gotta give blame where blame is due. Part of this goes back to the Georgia invasion in 2007-08, when Bush was in office. Bush didn't stand up either, and by Bush not standing up, and by Obama not as a candidate saying we should be standing up, and McCain not saying we should be standing up, you had a triad there of potential leaders and a current leader saying, you know what, we're not going to do anything to back up the people. And Georgia also had the same treaty, the nuclear weapons treaty that Ukraine has. We've signed treaties with both of those countries saying we would protect them if they would give up their nuclear weapons, which they both did, and now we're saying, who's kidding? You know, who cares?
And now what you going to do?
And still, once again, I'm sorry to tell you, and I know that black people really believe that President Obama is this very competent, very good guy. He's what we call an ideologue. He believes in an ideology, a belief system that doesn't work and has never worked anywhere in the world. And for him to press his way and press his luck in this situation is dangerous and is getting lots of people killed. Now we went into Benghazi, and moved Gaddafi out. Christians are getting killed wholesale. We went into Egypt and got the people out. He gave the Muslim Brotherhood two countries, which with very sizable militaries. Now, what do you think was a good idea here?
We don't know. See, my issue is we will never be able to convince people that he has his idea because he has not come out and said it, and they don't know how to hear it. Because if you look at the news will not cover anything that has to do with
those
types of
truth
thinking.
About it. That's true.
Yeah. The Muslim Brotherhood
well,
and Al-Qaeda, anyway. They're,
absolutely.
They're just another reinvention.
Well, Obama have done some good things now. Come on now.
Exactly.
I like his policy of not getting involved in wars, which is good. But this whole thing with Russia.
Listen, guys, before all y'all showed up, we were doing really good talking one at a time. You will not come up and strike up the day and talk on top of each other.
This whole thing about Russia has a lot to do with Snowden. Of course, they would like to put missiles and chemical weapons in Ukraine. And but the United States can't afford to do that stuff no more. They're practically broke.
You can't afford not to.
Hello, Tracy.
Yes, Stanley.
Well, no, we
yes,
just declared our military.
Hold on, Mike. Go ahead, Stanley.
I just want to come back to a comment that Putin said yesterday, and it does make you think. He basically said, "How could you, United States, say to us to not interfere when you've been interfering so many times with other countries when you felt it was right?" So we're interfering in the thing that we feel is right, but you're telling us not to do it. And that's
absolutely
what he said. And that makes you think. How could we say to those people, no, you shouldn't do this, but we've been doing it all along?
Okay.
Shut that down, Tracy.
Stanley, what about the treaty that we signed that said we would protect you if you're invaded? What does the treaty not stand for anything?
No.
Stanley?
No.
Let me answer that. No, it doesn't, because we've done many things around the world that we should have never interfered. We've done many mistakes
So we can turn our back on a treaty? Because we've misbehaved other places.
We turn our back on the treaty because when we don't have the advantage, we decide to have a treaty. But when we don't have the advantage of what we want,
but you don't,
we decide.
Stanley, you can't be a leader that's a liar.
No, but you can't be. Last comment. You can't be. Trace, I understand what you're saying, but you can't be a country that's a hypocrite also.
Let me clarify something for you. Okay, when the United States goes in, just like we did in Iraq, we didn't go into Iraq to take their resources and to do away with their sovereignty in that way. We went in there to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon and stop Saddam Hussein from getting ready to spread. He was paying people to kill Jews in the Gaza Strip. Remember that, Stanley? No, you don't remember that, but that's what was happening. So, you know, now, we didn't go in there for that reason, or for weapons of mass destruction, in my opinion. It was because we needed to have a jump-off point to stop Iran. But that's neither here nor there, okay? That's what happened. But here's the bottom line. What are you going to do when you have promised somebody that you will kick butt if somebody messes with them? You don't do that. Either you shut up or you get your butt out of office, which is what this cat should do because he's worthless. And
Hold on, Stanley. I've got a South Carolina, your mic is on. Oh, that's Mike. Hold on,
yes,
Mike.
Yes, it is. Hey, good morning, Tracy.
All good morning.
I'm going to say to Stanley and Jeff, the main difference about the United States incursion.
Whoever's making the noise in the background, mute your button if you're washing dishes and cleaning pots and pans, because it's really irritating for us. Go ahead, Mike.
We have gone into many countries over the last 100 years, and the only land in those countries that we still own to this day is where we buried our boys and girls who died there. That's the difference, Stanley. Putin wants to own where he went. He will never leave unless we make it painful for him. It was about capturing territory, the resources, and the access to the Baltic Sea. When the United States goes in, if we have a military base with them, it's with a lawful legal contract represented in the world court, and we only stay and have a base at their privilege. If they want us out, like the Japanese said they wanted us out, we closed the base in Okinawa a few years ago, and it's been dwindling down as per the agreement. We gave back the Panama Canal, Stanley. We gave it back 10 years ahead of the lease. That's
but
the difference,
why, okay,
Stanley.
We don't conquest. Well, we try to be the – wait, wait. First of all, Americans, we try to be the police of the world. That's number one. Number two, the Muslim would tell you different.
Well,
we
I don't care what the Muslims
wait,
say.
Wait,
they're
wait,
wrong.
Wait, 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 no.
They
behead
people.
I'm sorry. Muslims would tell you different.
They behead women and children.
Do
we don't
wait,
do
wait,
that.
Wait.
Stanley, hold on. Hold on, Mike. Listen, guys, this is what's going on. We're looking in the right now. We're not going far enough back in history to come forward to find out what's going on here, because there's more going in the background and in the history of this than there is in
right.
the present. And let me say this: and the journalists that deliver the news today will not give you a full scope so that you can actually critically think about what's really happening anywhere in America or globally. They don't want you to know.
We have to understand the mindset of the Russian people. That country
right.
has been overrun many times, and they've lost millions and millions of people, and at the end of the Second World War, they swore never to happen again. That's why they put those puppet states around them as a buffer zone against any future invasion. This is all about maintaining warm water ports, and Putin will take all of Ukraine before this is over because they have a gas supply that rivals that of Russia.
Right.
And they were getting ready. And what this, the reason this is going on, a lot of the reason is they were getting ready to start horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing like we're doing here in the United States, and they would have been a serious threat to the to Russia's hold on the natural gas supply to Western Europe. That's what this all boils down to.
All boils down to.
Yeah, and
I make three points real quick, Tracy.
Hold on, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
Mike in D.C.
Okay.
No. Mike in D.C.
Okay, sir.
Okay, real quick points. Listen. We have to remember we're still in the nuclear bomb era, people, okay? And Russia and the United States are the top of the world, and we still worrying about that. To me, that's the bottom line, and it's the mentality behind those nuclear bombs. We can never leave that. Now, let's talk about treaties. The United States, factually, Saudi Arabia and Kuwait back in the 1950s signed a treaty, and they said, listen, we are the religious country. We're not military-wise. United States, you're the power. We have other countries like Russia. We have Russia who may come, and other countries may come into our religious countries. Please protect us militarily. And that's what we did in 91 when Assam said Kuwait, it was ours way back when Hitler wanted to divide everything up. That's treaties. And also, I must say again, Obama still wanted to do his nuclear power because he wanted to strike Syria, and the Republicans tried to stop him. That's all I wanted
to say. That's not what happened?
Okay,
Tracy,
why do they have hearings on it? Why do the Republicans have heard on it? And Tracy, 80% of the American people said that they did not want Obama to strike it. He wanted to strike it, and he said, I'll let Congress decide. That's on record, Tracy.
Dude, remember, Kerry tried to take credit for what Putin did. This has been going on for a while. Wait. This was brewing and going on in 2008 when McCain was running against President Obama.
I'm talking about last year when they were talking about striking them, though. I'm talking about last year.
No, sweetie, you've got to go, honey.
That is a fact.
You've got to go further, deeper, and around this. It's not just on the surface of this. This is much deeper.
Obama gave factual information, and Putin and nobody denied those factual information that he gave, and he stated his case. He wanted to strike them, and y'all had hearings, and y'all said no, you didn't want to do
that
it.
That is not
you
true.
You can't deny that.
That is not true.
What happened to C-SPAN? We'll look at the hearings on C-SPAN.
You
said
got,
I wanted to strike
Mike, hold up.
Remember that? If we strike them, it's going to be
Mike.
A drone strike. We're not going to see ground troops
on
that.
You are
Come
missing.
On. Don't say
you
Obama
are
was doing
listen,
that.
Sweetheart,
on, man.
You are, listen.
Obama wanted to show his military.
Honey, Mike,
he crossed
this
the
is,
line and he wanted to strike
Mike,
him. That is a fact.
Mike, I'm going to mute you in a heartbeat in a minute. I'm telling you now, we don't need to have that many affirmations of it. You are missing some critical facts here. Because none of the story is being told above board as it should. None of it. Whether it be Syria, because if it goes back to where President Obama came in and said, if Syria crossed the red line, he was going to be there. He is not doing that which he could and should. Every time he comes around, we're going to just do a sanction. I think I heard someone saying they're playing chess and we're playing like hopscotch.
Marbles.
Marbles. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
This is something. It's bigger than just Putin and President Obama. And this is deep. This is about money. And if we're not careful, we will end up in a war that we don't want to be in and can't afford to be in because we don't have a choice. And we definitely cannot back it up because we're the ones who went into a treaty with another nation.
It's about world dominance.
And it's about new world order.
Absolutely. And who's going to be where when it comes into being?
And who's going to control it?
You can't see these things. Tracy, is that back in 2008, these countries, Soviet Georgia and the Ukraine, were nominated to be members of NATO. And our wonderful friends, England, Germany, and France, voted it down. The three nations who benefited the most after World War II, you know, are the ones who don't seem to want to extend security to anyone else. They like their little NATO clique. And that's where this
comes
from.
So, Mike, why is that?
Because if you look at it, don't get me going here because my grandmother on my father's side is French, but born in Paris. But I got to tell you something. You look over the last 100 years of every pain in the royal butt this country has had, or 130 years, and it comes down to France all the time.
Yes. So the question is, I'm serious. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't want to include them in it. It was something about because they would have to give them technology and secrets about NATO, and they didn't think they could trust them having been former Soviet countries. But look at Poland and look at the other countries that are part of NATO. They're righteous. They're good members. They're good neighbors, you know. But that's what it was. So this really all goes back to our wonderful allies in Europe who like everything we can do for them and don't think we should do for anyone else.
And I wonder why.
Well, what they need over there is some of that black woman anger we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, don't start. Don't start.
They need
Mike.
To suffer some of that. You need to go over there, Tracy, and set them straight. You and the sisters.
We are not angry. I took a survey yesterday.
Yeah, by a whole bunch of screaming black ladies who took the survey.
I will say this. What they need is a dose of information honesty for everyone. And the problem is we are too chicken here in America to tell Americans and its citizenry the honest truth.
Right. And the thing about the comment that you hear a lot from the left, why must we be policemen to the world? If not us, who? Hugo Chavez? I mean, Fidel Castro? Who has the resources to represent the opposite point of view where the individual matters more than the government or the state if it isn't the West? And we are the predominant force in the West. We're stuck with it, whether we want it or not. We're stuck with that role because no one else
is. No, we're not. We're not stuck with that role. We're not stuck with that role. We choose
Stanley,
to have that role.
It's
because,
a moral
because,
issue.
Wait.
You
it's
being
it's
an
it's
atheist
a,
wouldn't understand serving
no,
something
we're not
higher
than
hold on, Mike. Hold on, Mike. I want to hear.
Wait,
hold on.
Let me ask you
Stanley.
A question, Tracy. When I went over to the
Mike.
Desert for this country, who decided me to go over there? When
Let me tell you something, Mike. How come you're saying such a moral thing? Where were we when Africa was getting killed? And billions of people got killed. Where were we?
Stanley, can I say
no,
this?
No, he's saying it's a moral thing.
No, Stanley,
we were
Stanley,
nowhere
listen,
there.
Stanley, listen, there wasn't no oil in the Sudan.
So you see? No, you see?
I'm not going to go with the moral line. I said there's no money and there was no positive interest there. There wasn't no
Thank
money
you.
There.
Thank you, Tracy, because I'm part of
our goal is to protect the economy of the world, too, Stanley. Because
that's not what you said, Mike. You said we're supposed to be the moral law of this planet.
We are the representative of freedom in this world.
No, you're not. You're not the representative of freedom.
Mike, I don't know. We coin ourselves the representative of freedom. We coin ourselves the representative of democracy. We coin ourselves the moral leader. But you have to understand, America has not been moral and or a leader of a morality in a very long time. We do things for personal interest. We put people in power not because we care, but because we want something there.
Well, I don't know.
Everything is a strategic move.
Most of the oil that comes out of the Middle East goes to Europe. It doesn't come to us. That's why they're all bent out of shape about the Straits of Hormuz being closed by Iraq. Most of the oil that comes out of the Middle East does not go to us. It goes to Europe. The only reason we're there defending it is because if that gets cut off, then Europe will be buying in the markets we're buying in. It'll raise the prices globally, and it will affect freedom because it'll affect commerce.
But no. This is my asking, Mike. So are we doing it because we care? Are we doing it because there's a circle of agenda that still goes back to a dollar bill?
There's always a circle of agenda. For the same people that were in Africa that didn't want us there, they had their agenda too. Everybody has an agenda, Tracy.
That's not what you said. You said you brought the moral clause in there.
No, I was using the term moral police. We're the moral police of the world. They want to make us the police of the world.
Because there's two basic
ideologies in the world right now. Forget all commerce and everything else. Two basic ideologies. The individual is sovereign, or the nation is sovereign, and you belong to the nation. You belong to the government. And that's the two ideologies in the world.
Mike. America would become a communist country if they thought they could tomorrow.
If who thought?
If the people that are trying to control this one world order, that top 1% who are the blind people that we don't know their names, don't know their faces, and we don't know who they are, if they could turn this into a communist country, if they could turn this into a slave state again, they would.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now
sure
we need.
Because and their belief system is that they have the right to be sovereign. And the only way they believe they can do that is to enslave someone else. Again,
so, Mike, we need to be
–
hold on. And we need to be honest about that. So when we go over here, it ain't about a moral clause, because if they were moral, they would go – we would do things because of morality, and we would not start tying our funding to homosexuality rights.
We're tying our funding to – I don't know what that means. What's that about?
Google that.
And Mike, by the way, who said that we need to be the police of the world? Nobody gave
us – No, Stanley, you're going off topic. You're going off topic.
No, that's what he said.
But I'm not going to go there. We're not going that far off topic. We're just not. I want us to come back to the Ukraine, because you need to understand what's going on in the Ukraine, what's going on in Russia, what's going on in America, what's going on in the Middle East. It's all tied together, and it all has to do with energy.
Right. Energy and currency.
Was it propaganda to see them soldiers meet those other soldiers, the soldiers that's not armed and the armed soldier? Was that propaganda? What do you think about that camera shot?
Say that again.
When they showed on CNN, when the Russian soldiers was marching, and the Ukraine soldiers was, you know, had their guns drawn on the unarmed Russian soldiers, do you think that was propaganda? Was that real life?
No, that was.
Well, I think you got that backwards.
I think you got that backwards. The Russians fired into the air. The Russians fired into the air at a group of unarmed Ukrainian soldiers that were trying to go back to their barracks on the airbase.
I apologize. Right. Yeah. What do you think about that, though? Right. But having said that, what do you think about that? Is that real?
I think it may be real, but I think it's not as important as the underlying agenda. Images are there to control and to scare you and to frighten you. But you don't hear your news channels telling you the details as they do when they want you to know something about something else. You don't hear that. They're not telling you the backstory. I was watching a TV show last night called The Have and the Have Not, and Tyler Perry came in, and he was giving you the backstory of what's going on behind the characters. Right now in the news, they don't give you the backstory so that you can actually comprehend and or find out what's going on. And so you have to surf the internet if you're interested. And maybe the stories are true, and maybe they're not. Maybe the shots that you see are sensational, and maybe they're not. And what I'm saying is, we as Americans need to wake up, because this is bigger than what you think. And this is really about world domination, and this is about one world order. Who's going to control it? And he who controls the energy and the currency is the one who will win. And right now, our leadership, whether you like him or not, is not prepared for the game that they're playing to the best interest of the American electorate. This is not about personality. And right now, when you politicize foreign policy, you really have problems. And we have been politicizing foreign policy here in the United States for, I know, the last 12 years, but definitely for the last 7.
What do you mean by that, Tracy? What do you mean by that, Tracy? Politicizing foreign policy?
What did you say, Jeff?
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by what, politicizing foreign policy?
Right. I don't understand that.
Decisions are not made for the security of Americans. It's decisions are made for the security of the administrations and what they're going to do politically.
But as your guest said, we have treaties. So some of these things are already written down.
You missed my point. Then act on them. Then do the right thing by them. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm just going by what she said. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the politics of the Vietnam War, we lost the Vietnam War because of politics. We had won that. We had turned them around on the Tet Offensive. That was the strongest resistance to the American and Western forces that Vietnam had through all the people that were gathered on their side. We turned them down. And then because of the politics of this nation, the Jane Fonda's and these little snotty-nosed kids in college that don't know what the heck world politics was about in the first place, which is what they do now. You don't know what's going on because you don't look behind and read editorials and read other things about what's going on in the world. And so we think automatically, well, Bush, he went in there because they threatened his daddy. That's the most asinine thing in the world.
You know what? Let me say this. Let me jump in and say this. And let me say this to everyone. Jeff, you said something there. We go to war for reasons that we shouldn't go, and we stay out of war. We stay out of war for reasons that we shouldn't stay out of. But the same people who were messing around in the 60s are the same people that are in power right now.
Right.
That ideology, that mindset, that free love, that world utopia, hippie, smell the flowers, God, you know, ain't no God, hair on the walls. They're the same people that are running the liberal arm of America today. They own the media, and they run the country. And you need to wake up and smell the coffee and find out these people don't care about us. They have an agenda, and their agenda is to fulfill that which they're doing. And when you look at radical rules for radical, when you look at what's going on right now, they are taking that mindset, and they are. And somebody, don't get me wrong, as they mastermind this, as they work, because remember, they were a part of organizations and organisms that were growing, and they are controlling our country today. And
the
world.
The progressive mindset is to shape the world more near to thee, you know. In other words, they want to make the world the way they want it to be, period. Deal with it or die.
Well, I'm an unaffiliated independent, so I need your help. Which party that I can vote for when they get in the office that they're not going to hide the back story? That they're not going to let
no one.
We're not
going to have a back story.
Please leave your name and phone number after the beep.
Mike, listen,
I'm going to tell you, it's not the political party, it's a progressive movement.
Right,
it is
so
not
I'm just
a party. Mike, listen,
I need some help.
I'm trying to help you, and what I'm telling you is, it's not a party, it's a movement, so you've got to judge the move, the person by what they say and do research on them and dig deep.
What game yes. are you playing? Huh? I said, what
Who's
game
that?
Are you playing?
Who's that?
Who's that? I don't know.
There we go.
There you go.
Founder.
That was Jeff.
That was Jeff. Jeff knows better.
Mike, this is not about a. This is about a mindset. So you can't
yeah,
say that I'm going to vote. Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say progressives. They know their agenda. They don't. It's like guys like Woodrow Wilson. They understood that what they stood for wasn't going to happen in their lifetime. It's a movement.
And it's a movement
yeah.
on you.
And they and yeah, and people don't understand. There's progressives in Republican and Democrat.
And
they want to go the same, and they want to end up in the same place at the end. They just got different ways of wanting to get there.
And they want to, and who's going to be in control
so,
when they get there?
Right.
So it's a movement to reveal the things that's
no. It's a movement for power and control. It's a movement for power and control, and who's going to do it, and how we're going to shape the globalization of the one world order or the new world order into power. Because as we become more globalized, we become more unified. And as we want to become more unified, who's going to become president of the world? And how is that president and that administration going to work? How is it going to need? And how can we control the masses where they will not uprise against us? So
it's
if
got
I
to,
keep
it's
you
got to get
ignorant,
really, really bad. It's got to get really, really bad for this to happen.
Well,
if
we
I
have
keep
to
you
go
ignorant.
Social before. Right, but we have to always talk about social. If you look at the technology,
right.
our
so,
phones,
listen to what I'm, no, 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 sweetie,
advanced,
listen.
Hold on, we have advanced technology-wise, but socially, we haven't gone
listen.
Anywhere from ancient of time.
You don't,
look
you don't have
socially,
to. Listen, no, listen, Mike.
We did.
As long, listen, Mike. As,
in order for me
Mike,
to start
you
a business with
you,
place, you're gonna have to
listen.
Like social.
You don't realize as long as I control what you eat, what you sleep. Where you, what you watch, how you entertain yourself, I control you. And I never want you to think on your own. So let me make you the new urban black community of poverty. Because we've already tested it on the pilot of African Americans, and they were the strongest in the world. They were the strongest self-willed person, people in the world. We've tested it on them, and we found out that it works. So let us take this experiment and let it expand it to everyone else. And that's what you have. And that's where we are. The question is, will you wake up and say, I'm getting off this merry-go-round, this hamster wheel, and I'm going to stand on what I believe. See, you can't have faith in a God because a God will tell you that you're free and you can be delivered. So you have to have this utopia of coexist so all gods are one. You can't have your own mind. You can't think for yourself. So we're going to send you to school, and we're going to tell you how to think. You can't read for yourself because we're going to tell you what we want you to read, and we're going to dumb you down with Molly Cyrus. We're going to turn your little girls into little prostitutes. We're going to turn your boys into wusses, and we're going to make sure that everybody does what they're going to do because we don't want to make, we need population control because we got to be able to control the masses. So I tell you what, we're going to actually feminize and emasculate everybody there so that everybody says that I can choose my own sexual identity so I don't procreate. That's where we are.
And then we're going to destroy the warrior class.
And if you get pregnant, we got to pill. If you get pregnant, don't worry, we got a pill to take care of that.
Has anybody ever questioned why they've stopped teaching cursive writing in schools? Very simply, so that young people can't read what was written 100 years ago.
And can't communicate.
Absolutely.
Well, that was predicted in 1984 by Orwell in the language they
yep.
had called Newspeak, where they took the dictionary
right.
and began to eliminate words, and they began to contract words so that you didn't ask, well, what does this word mean and this word mean? It was just the word meant something by itself. Ingsoc, their form of government. It was English
mm-hmm.
socialism. But it would lead people
mm-hmm.
to saying someday, well, what's English and what's socialism then? No, it's Ingsoc. That's where we live. That's it.
Well,
and it's already happened because, according to educators in this country, the graduating class from high school in 1968 graduated with a 26,000-word vocabulary. Today, the kids who do finally graduate high school are around 8,400-word vocabulary. one-third as many words. And you see it all the time when you're working with these kids and you hire them as you have a business, they don't know the difference between vertical, horizontal, parallel, perpendicular, all these words the rest of us grew up understanding. They don't understand that.
Look at the amount of reading.
Hold on. I got to pull up 718. Okay. 718, you got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Real quick, Tracy, I want to ask a question to the panel. What is the purpose of charter schools? And in New York City, they closed down like 3 charter schools, and a lot of the parents are outraged.
Let me say, I got to go. But let me say this. The reason why they're shutting down charter schools is because they don't want children to learn outside of the curriculum that they set.
The same reason they're beating up on liberal
progressives. They're doing that. They're the ones behind it.
Yeah, and those aren't the rich kids that went to those schools. Those are the poor kids.
But why would they do that? And then in my area, they're building charter schools.
As long as they're non-productive, follow the money. Follow the money, and you'll find out where they belong. You'll find out where it is. If you want to know what's going on, follow the cash. I'm telling y'all, this is nothing but a street game with suits on. Follow the money. Follow the power. See who wins at the end.
Right.
Hey, listen, I'm gone. At the end of the day, Jeff, you guys be good. Have fun. I'll see you guys on tomorrow. I'll see y'all next week. Jeff will be here tomorrow. Mark Manch will be here tomorrow. Sticks, I don't know what he's going to do. Eric may stop in, but I won't be around. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful afternoon. Sticks, you be good.
I will.
You're in charge.
I'm in charge. That's a bad thing.
I know. God bless you guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Faces challenges in their lives.
Sticks is in control. Uh-oh.
Yeah. But, again, I don't understand. Why do New Yorkers keep voting these liberal black jobs in office?
I don't vote for any of them, so I couldn't tell you why. I think they get caught up with the distraction. Like, what's that guy named De Blasio or whatever, his son with the afro and stupidness? I think they get caught up with... New York is a very shallow type of place. I think they get caught up with what they have on and,
what culture
they're from and stuff like that, yeah.
You seem like you don't fall for that kind of okey-doke, and I'm just wondering, that's why I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, I don't get caught up in none of them. Out here in my area, they're changing tremendously, and my area was, a victim to Sandy. Like, it was really horrible out here. But, it was so bad that the school made an exception for so many things, and the school has lost a lot of students because so many people moved because of the tragedy. And it's a lot of stuff. Like, our building and our area has been bought off by the Jews, and it's a lot of transformation going on out here. And now we have a new charter school. They're building a charter school. They already have it, a charter school, and they wanted our children to come to that charter school now.
See, the ones who are building their own building aren't as vulnerable as the ones who were in abandoned public buildings, because those are the ones who got shut down because they basically kicked them out of the public buildings and gave them no place to operate from. And, again, that was a direct result from what I see in the press and I hear in the arguments across all the media, not just going conservative or liberal, going across all the media. It comes down to it's what serves the teachers' union who really put this guy in office, hon. That's what it's about. You know, unions are as corrupt as big corporations because they have money and they have power.
And I want to add, too, a lot of these people in these quote-unquote type of areas in certain neighborhoods feel like they're more privileged than those of us who don't live in certain type of neighborhoods. So they're getting hit with things just as we're getting hit with things. Yeah. So it's kind of like a backlash. And then they're seeing that, hey, you're not too different from me because it's them against us. So in a way, I understand the charter schools are closing, and this so-called politician lady is saying, oh, we're going to help. Some man, he's like, oh, we're going to help. But, I can just see it like, no, they're still going to have their own plan. To add something else, too, I work with the PSA in the school, so I get to get all the stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to tell you something. I can work close to those teachers, those principals or whatever, and we can put our team together. But guess what? At the end of the day, those teachers are going to look out for themselves, and that principal is going to look out for herself.
Exactly.
And if anything goes down, it doesn't matter what we say as the Parents Association. They're going to cover their behind first.
And see, and you and I will never be able to be united, and I mean that figuratively. I don't mean you and me personally. But
yeah,
you and I will never be able to be united together as long as every time I suffer pain, they told me you caused it. And every time you suffer pain, they said I caused it to you. That keeps us divided, when the truth is they're manipulating the pain to keep you and I apart so that we don't wise up, so that as a block we don't throw them all out of us, and we have the political power to do it.
And you know what's interesting is I've noticed after Sandy, a lot of those charter schools, those Catholic schools, they're the one that's actually going through it much more, money-wise. And, I mean, we're all going through it. I'm not going to say them, but I realize with them, it's really affecting them. Like, they don't get it. They don't, you know, it's like, why, you know, why us? It's like, well, we shouldn't go through this. That's their attitude. Like, we are the ones that shouldn't go through this because we do this, we do that, while others do this. And that's the mentality of New Yorkers anyway.
But you see, that's all part of divide us, because it's real easy to go on talk radio today, and it's not that hard in any given day to hear somebody bashing the Catholic Church, okay, for being rich, evil popes in 1300s having sex with little girls, and all this nonsense has nothing to do with what's going on today, because the truth is 40% of everybody who ends up in a hospital bed in the United States is in a Catholic-run hospital, and 20% of all the inner-city kids around this country go to a Catholic school, and that school gets nothing from the public other than the tax, property tax off their building. That's the only subsidy they get from the city or state. They have a non-taxable building. They don't pay property tax. But meanwhile, they're educating 20% of the kids in the inner city today.
Mm-hmm.
And that is huge because, okay, close all the Catholic schools, shut them all down, and then if you think the public budgets are stressed now, what are you going to do with 20% more kids to educate?
Right.
Actually, it'll be 25% more because the 20 is 25% of who's in school, in a public school. So, you know, and it would be a horrendous burden on society. And this is, again, keep us divided, say the pain you feel was caused by me, and you never want to talk to me then. You don't want to unite with me because, after all, I'm the guy causing you all the pain. And it's a lie, and this is what they do, and they've gotten really good at it. And with the media now, all these politicians know what channel they can go on to get their agenda because they've got people there who suck up to them just because they have 170 spots a week to fill. When they went to the 24-hour news cycle, these producers have a lot of time to fill. Every 8 minutes, they need a new story to put up. And when you divide that out over time, they need like 170 stories a week or something. And they can get them because they got all the politicians. Hey, you got anything going on down there? Well, there's this thing about the charter schools and why we had to close them, because they're evil and the kids are coming out stupid or the wrong color or whatever. And they go, oh, great, can you be on 6 o'clock for an interview? You know what I mean? And that's what it's all about. The media is trying to sell deodorant. Everybody, it's all about cash and control. That's what it's always about. You know, so...
Well, it's about human beings thinking about other teachers, thinking the way I teach is not good for our kids. Remember, we have so many people from the federal government to the parent teachers meeting controlling the curriculum of our schools, which is so sad.
It's a teacher
let me share,
I agree.
Let me share something, if I may.
Okay.
I'm very intuitive, so I can pick up things pretty well. And I was sitting down, and I was peeping this when they were talking, when the I'm the vice president of this PSA, and then there's the president. She wasn't there, so I was there. And the conversation was way different from when she's there, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to change the school time. They were focused on what hours that they needed to focus on. And one of the ladies was just talking ridiculous. I was like, but that I was just listening. I didn't talk too much. And she was trying to change the school time, this and that. It was a Jewish lady on top of that. But I can see that whatever she says will ride, whether we like it or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can pick that up. I'm like, I don't know who her husband is.
That shouldn't be.
Right. I don't know who. Right, and I'm like, I could see that. And I could see that, like, the president, you know, she makes like little mockeries and stuff of her, whatever. And I'm like, that's not really smart on her part. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, what I see with these people is that it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we have to have a much more clever way of almost dealing with them and getting things done the way we would like it.
Well, this is what I'm learning to do. I'm just learning this. I didn't know everything. So as you guys say, as Tracy said, we have to wake up. I've woken up on some things. I will never call them leaders. We have to stop going to these meetings, these boards, when they get up and they're in their suits and they're behind that desk and they're behind that podium. Don't look at them as leaders. You look at them as representative spokesperson. You're in control. They're no higher than you. And see, they get up there, get elected, and the tradition is they're higher than us.
Yeah,
that's the problem. We are in control. They're not. We are the leader because the people make the last decision. If they don't vote right, we get their asses off the school board. We have to make, you know, so we have to voice our opinion. I will never consider them as leaders. I don't consider Obama as a leader. It's checks and balances. We can kick his ass out of there anytime we want to. By paper, it's on paper somewhere. They can get rid of his ass.
Well, I'm sorry.
I don't mean to cut like that. But hold on. Having said that, the mindset, ma'am. If we talk about everything, start with the mindset, like Tracy was saying. So you have to change the mind. So if you look at them another way and think that your vote is actually dollars, people don't even think the voting system works out right. If you don't even think voting is, I don't understand what you're doing.
Right, and one thing I say is about intelligence and knowing how to talk to people as well. You see. And this is just me. This is my first year on the board with them, and I'm just keeping everything. And it's not that nothing can get done. But here's the thing where responsibility has to come in with our community. You can't ask people outside of you to help you build your community if they see that you don't care. If the parents are not going to the meeting, if the people are not participating, you're only coming for shows with your children or when it's time to eat or have some type of event that benefits you and your children. But when it comes to something serious like what can we do for the school, the curriculum, and you have something to say about it, you do not come. You can't ask people outside of that to help you because half those teachers are, first of all, they're not black. And even if they are black, they live in Long Island somewhere. They're not living out here with us. You know what I'm saying? So you have to take responsibility as well. And these are the things that I see. I don't think that these people don't want to help and they don't care about their students or the classes, whether race is involved or not. I think that there has to be a responsibility with us, because everything is vibration. If we're not putting the effort in there, if we're not showing unity, if we're not showing that, why should they?
I agree with you, and that's, you know, Mike, this is Mike speaking, right, Mike, that was just talking? It's Mike in a minute having the conversation.
Mike,
before when Stanley says, well, why didn't we help Africa? Well, here's the main reason we didn't help Africa. Africa doesn't have a lobby in this country to speak of. The Jews do have a very strong lobby. 80% of the American Jews, in one way or another, support the nation of Israel or Jewish causes that benefit Israel. You can't say that 80% of the average black American is supporting Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and as a person who cares about all people, I can't, I'm ashamed to say, other than a little bit of money once in a while at church when there's a black minister coming for a donation who has a ministry in Africa, I don't ever recall myself seeking out an African cause to donate to. You know, so I'm as guilty as anybody else, you know. And that's what happens with Amente. You know, I'm listening to what Mike said. Throw them out if they don't vote right. You know, Mike, I'm sad to say I consider myself an educated man, and I work really hard on my personal education, but I wouldn't know where to find out how a superintendent of school voted to see whether or not I liked what he did. You know, so, you know, again, there's these holes in our in where we get our information and our education, you know. So
right.
I'm just confessing, you know, I'm not pointing a finger at anyone.
Right, because a lot of us are busy. And I'm looking like this. Other people not having – a lot of people don't like to have conversations like we're having, the mass majority. Most people are not political. They go to work. They just worry about go to work. They like the thing. They deal with their families. They're not caught up in this. So most people, I'm telling you, and I'm talking about these are professional people. Some professional people are not political. Only when it's time to vote or November time or 4 years or what have you, they're not that political issues. But I'm saying we have to have a balance, though. See, I understand we have the businessman, we got the wise man, but there has to be a balance because politics or people decide how other people should live. And people are deciding how we live. That's just a fact. Now, I agree with you. It has to be a partnership from the parents and the teachers. See, if I was to go into a community as an educator, and I know the parents are the way they are, and I'm going into the zip code, right? Me as a teacher, I know what I'm going through. So what creative ways do I have to battle it? Not giving the parents that they're the hook off. I'm not saying that. But see, where the parents is, they complain when the teachers make the rules, and then when the rules implemented, and then when it doesn't work out, because every rule, me as a business owner, every rule that I make may not work out right. That's why I may get feedback from my employees. I don't know everything, but the last decision is mine. You're leaving the last decision to these board members.
Yeah, yeah.
You're leaving it, and I think another gap is our communication. See, you're telling these parents who may not speak correctly, because I can hear these, I have to say, these quote-unquote conservatives, they got good money, and when they talk to people who doesn't speak good etiquette and proper grammar as them, they demean them, but you can still get someone conclusion. I'm just saying there's a gap because some of these parents may not be as articulate as these board members, and that may be why I can't talk to them. So we even have to talk about how people communicate with each other. Just like you said, it's not what you say, it's how you say it, different environments. Right now, I'm flowing. You know, I feel comfortable,
right.
Now with you guys. So we even have to say, in different environments, you have to switch it up. There's nothing wrong with switching up the dialect or getting your point across. So we even have to talk about communication socially because politicians, they communicate, they debate. It's about communications. So it's a lot of things. It's, you know, just like vocabulary. So I think it has to be a balance, so to speak. So if I'm an educator, I'm going in this environment, me knowing that these hurdles, what creative ways do I have to pull the parents in? Or, you know, because I'm the educator. I'm the smart one. I'm saying they're not that smart. So what I'm just saying, it has to be a balance, not giving them, you know, hook off with the parents, but the parents need to, you know, be involved too. And don't just get mad because, you know, when someone makes a decision for your kids.
Well, yeah,
that's
the,
all
thing too, the thing too is, like I gave you the example, there's a lot of things that I see. And I don't say anything because I see the way that the how things are handled. And I'm not going to say anything to you if I don't see that you're going to handle something in an intellectual fashion. Just like I said, the woman who was trying to change up the times and stuff, the president pretty much was making a mockery out of her. And I'm like, you don't do people like that. You understand? You don't act underhanded like that towards people because that really brings out their viciousness. You know what I'm saying? And I think that there's a lot of ego. And like I said, it's my first year here, but I'm pretty intuitive
all
to pick out everything. There's a lot of ego and people who know people, a lot of too much talking. And I'm just like, I'm just sitting back and I'm just watching. And I'm like, this is where I see where the problem lies. And on top of that, I'm starting to feel like this is not real. This is just a show. This ain't even about the kids. Like, I'm starting to feel like that. Like,
it's about
this
ego.
Is a show. This
it's
is a show.
Ego.
This is for you to say, this is what I do for the community. This is what I do. This is not for the sake of the community.
Yeah.
And I can see that.
It's about egos, honey. By the time the whole system, after you're a teacher, and you end up getting into the system where you want to then be the principal of a school, you are being groomed then to go to the school board. You're then being a union representative. You're moving up. And the problem is every time somebody takes on a new position of power, they want to leave their signature on it. They want to show people what they can do. They got their ideas and everything. And the problem is, see, like a businessman like Mike on the phone over here, Mike's got to be cautious when he implements change. Because if it's wrong, Mike ends up taking it in the shorts, you know? So the school departments, when they make change, they say, well, we're going to test this out on one sixth grade over at this school, And we're going to test it for a year and see if it changes anything and which way it goes, good or bad. No, they come in with these broad sweeping programs that everybody is in a constant state of being off balance, like a prize fighter having just been hit. And before they can catch their balance again, in comes the next program. So nobody really knows what works and what doesn't work, but the net effect is it's not working, any of it. You can't come in with that kind of change. When you run a business, you can say, okay, we're going to try this over here with a limited number, run a perfectly clean test, and we're going to get a result. And if it's better than what we do with the bulk of our client base, great. If it's not, then we're going to abandon it. It was just another idea we tried. They don't do that. Because these people come in with their egos, they're in for a certain period in office, and they've got to leave the pride of authorship. You know, they got to wee-wee on everything and mark their territory. You know, that's what it's all about, honey. That's what you're seeing, ego. True,
well,
good,
the teachers,
good word, ego.
I can honestly say, the teachers care.
Yeah,
they
the
do care about those students. I'm not gonna lay that on them.
No,
The team I'm a part of, I think I'm on the wrong team. I think I need to go get a degree and be a teacher, because I can see their compassion. I can see that they're making changes. I ask questions. The principal is great. He's a new principal. I can say that.
I know so many teachers.
PSA, I'm just like, and I'm not trying to talk down about them. It's just like, really? You know,
I know so many teachers that take their own paycheck and buy materials for their children because the school doesn't provide them. And they want
to
do a science project or something,
anyway,
they'll buy it and bring
pocket,
it into the classroom with their own money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in that school, you know, it's be infighting. See, it's infighting. Never. It's even infighting from the teachers and administrators.
Yeah,
and
I know that. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's administrators are basically
and guess what? The kids are sitting there crazy. It's, you know what? I agree with this statement. After all we talk about from the federal government to the, you know, controlling the curriculums, the kids are sitting there like, wow. And the adults are sitting there fighting. And the kids are like, I need to learn at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we all battling. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. We're all battling.
And
all the adults are battling.
It's just, I think with New York City in general, it's such a separatist state. Everything is separate. People live right across the street from one another because you're in the projects and you're in the house. I'm different from you. I'm better than you. All this craziness. But they don't realize we're all in the same neighborhood, you know, and that's what Sandy was symbolic to people, because those nice areas, nice houses, they got tore down. A lot of them needed help. People in the projects and all that, they was helping one another. They had food and all that. But did those people even come down here to get food or whatever? You see, ego. They was concerned about some scrap metal, somebody riding around getting scrap metal or some stupidness. So I think what's going on in New York City is those walls are beginning to break down. This, you're Black American, I'm Black immigrant, I'm different from you, you're Italian, I'm from Irish, I'm from, all that stuff is starting to break down. And honestly, New York needs that.
Uh-huh.
People need a wake-up call here.
Well, Mike, I'm about to say something that you may not, and just don't take this out of context, and you guys may not agree with. This is about direct responsibility and indirect responsibility. Now, we're in America. Different ethnic groups back, and you know what I think of America, because I helped defend this country, and I defended all the countries when I served this country. It was all from people around the world. I was helping defend it, right? But when we talk about America, it's a melting pot, right?
It is,
and we have different ethnic groups in here, right? So when you have these different ethnic groups, I agree that each group, if you want to talk about the Black community in certain areas, in the ghettos and certain areas in our community and things of that nature, how we identify this, yes, we do have to straighten our community. I agree with that 100%. But that Black community cannot have the attitude that they can do it all by themselves in this country. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because hold on. First mind, I understand that I have, like me, I know some things I have to get together myself. But watch this. Other people are gonna help me get myself together. So having said that, my community, it's something that we need to straighten out. But far as bills, legislation, money, not saying all the federal government, even if it's talking about, listen, giving some cutting some taxes. If I open up a business, a government was going to be indirectly a part of my business or affecting my business. So of a community, you cannot deny having a community in this country that the politics and the legislation, and somehow, not saying it's going to control us, but in somehow it's not going to impact us. That's just a fact. I mean, we can decide who goes to bankruptcy and who not goes into bankruptcy, even on the business level. Us as conservatives or not conservatives, even on the so it controls us. So we have to have a sense of your self-empowerment, but realizing that other people have to benefit. So having said that, looking at that fact, I think we can kind of get somewhere. Not saying that everyone is to blame. It's not all the white man's fault or it's all the black people's fault, things of that nature. Nothing. No one is blaming that. But realizing that all of us have to realize we're in this together. We cannot totally separate in this country. We can't. And that's what you hear sometimes, total division. Of course, identify yourself. But having that said today, there's going to be people want to be an impact. There's no possible way that I can pick up a dial and say a white person did not have nothing to do with it, or another a person did not have nothing to do with it. Even my great-great-grandfathers that picked cotton had something to do with the dollar that I have now. Without you, that's a fact. You can't deny that. Everything is domino effect. So that's all I wanted to say. And I'm not saying let the government be the resources. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you have to take responsibility. But if you're gonna take yourself, realize that you're gonna maybe I'm saying humble yourself a minute. Ask for help and get help. Because some people say, you know what, I don't have to help nobody. I don't have to get nothing back, and they just want to take and take and take. They don't want to work. Going to work, Mike, is giving back and helping the system. Being productive during the day helps the culture in America run.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to give back. I agree with that. But when I'm working with some, I'm going to be working with somebody. So I think that's where it goes, the ego. If we think like that, the ego can't be. And I agree, you can think about yourself and someone at the same time. I think the ego is separated at the same time now.
Well, me,
you know,
personally,
how can I explain that, though?
Yeah, I'm very humanitarian, and I don't get caught up in that. But I'm just speaking from perspective and what I see going on. But the main thing that I see is we still, in this neighborhood I'm in, have to help ourselves. You can't, you understand? You can't sit here and when the teacher is telling you something your child is doing and you curse the teacher out, taking the child's side without even hearing what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When we have these events, because from my understanding, these things are granted. Teachers are given grants to have these events, to have after-school events. I didn't know this. When these events are given to you, you want a dance club, you want a glee club, you want this and that, and then these parents are outside fighting and carrying on like some hooligans, you understand, and then they take that away, you're just being selfish and you're ruining it for everyone. You see what I'm saying? And I know that's like
right.
A small percentage. We know it doesn't matter. Those people come in all races and sizes. I understand that. But I'm speaking for my community, what I see, and I'm like, we have to step it up and we have to help ourselves. And I believe these teachers will really be willing to help these students. So until then, the teachers are just going to focus on what's going to help these teachers, these students get to the next grade.
I think everything starts with homework. To get the parents involved, if we could focus parents or getting homework, because that homework is what you did earlier that day, that practice, and then and after you do your homework, they'll reinforce it. Maybe the next day you come with some, and everybody has their own style, but they're basically the same structure. You see what I'm saying? Far as getting the lessons into people. But if we can get parents making sure kids get their homework, that is we have to start somewhere. We can't expect for them to change overnight. Because can't change overnight. Come on. Everything is a process. So we have them starting with the homework. I don't think any inner city, no matter what type of person, if a mother or parent see the child doing their homework, it's a rare, not saying I can't speak well, it's a rare that their parent may stop them.
Can I say?
It's time to eat. But if we can try to get that and get that homework done, or or ask, can I have questions with the Internet? Can you take an hour a day to research on the Internet some questions that you don't have on your home? We'll get that combination there. Then I think that may bridge the gap.
Oh, okay,
get that
California
homework
in this
done.
Neighborhood,
what,
this,
they,
quick,
that's all I'm saying. A starting point,
parents
that's
lack,
it.
The parents lack education in this neighborhood.
Well, the way
it was
they
really bad.
That.
It was so bad that the parents couldn't even help their students with their
yes.
children with their homework.
Yes.
They
the
didn't
way
understand
they
the homework.
Amente, there's a city in California, and I cannot remember the name. What they did was they opened up a learning center. You know how some of the cities open up recreation centers for kids
mm-hmm.
to go to after? Well, this was just computers and that kind of stuff. And it was I saw 60 Minutes do a piece on it once. They would have to physically, in a very loving way, close the place at 10 o'clock at night and throw the kids out because the kids stayed after school to do their homework there, and they worked. And all when they interviewed these kids, Spanish kids, black kids, you know, all minority children, Asian children, it's like we know that if we don't get good in school, we're not going to change our lives. And these kids were highly motivated to learn, and what the issue was they were trying to work around was just what the two you just said. The parents may not necessarily be cut out to help kids today because they never learned it themselves. But here's a beautiful learning center. Now, the parents could go there and interact with the kids if they wanted to, but now the kids had access to computers, high-speed Internet, even though they
right.
may not have had that at home. It overcame that obstacle, too. And,
right.
and it was something like they polled like 80% of the kids who took advantage of this, and there were hundreds
That's
of them in this school district, went on to college.
Well, it's too many smartphones for not to look nothing on the Internet. Only thing, I agree with you, with these centers. But this is what I'm trying to say because I don't like to call you guys concerned. I don't like to do that. But I hear some people say that educating stuff, the only thing I'm trying to do is when you have that homework, and I agree with the parents, but when you have that at home, you're bringing education in the home environment. That's all I'm saying,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah. Even if the parents can't help. Look, my mother could not read or write English when I was growing up. She learned it, you know, after I was probably 8 or 10 years old when she finally could pass her citizenship test in English, you know. But you know what? She made me show her my homework, you know, all the time, and she at least
That's
pretended
That's all I'm
better.
Saying, Mike.
She was
right.
interested.
That's all
that
I'm saying.
Now, here's what I think how we solve this, Mike. We make it a felony. Your kid comes to work with no homework, and they haul the mother's and father's ass into court.
Uh-oh, here go hardcore Mike again, man.
Stealing from the taxpayers. Because we're spending all this money to educate your damn kid, and you're... Look,
I got to go.
My
okay,
lunch break is over. I got to go back to ruling the kingdom here.
Right,
but
yeah, exactly.
Mike, it's been a pleasure.
No, no problem.
Pleasure,
one of the best conversations we had. But real quick before you go, a real quick tidbit. Here in Baltimore City, they did try to charge parents $50 a day when their kids asked from school. So it is.
Oh, yeah.
Here,
well, you should pay for the truant officer. The parents should pay for the truant officer. I'm convinced of it. They got to pick your kid up and haul him back. You pay for that. You pay for that ride.
Oh, my goodness.
Take care.
All right, Mike.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone.
All right. All right, take it easy. I'm gone too, guys. Y'all take it easy.
All right, take it easy.
All right, nice conversation.